talked about.
How about some music?
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
Fantastic. You are in luck, because I just started buying 45s. Oh. Last time I collected these, I was a little kid. Well, anyhow, this is one of my favorite songs.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Yeah, just keep doing it. Just keep doing it, you know. And if you don't enjoy it, please, you know, stop. But no one can ever take that away from you. You get to do it, and it's a privilege. And just, you know, pretty soon you've been doing it a long time. You go, whoa, this is what I do. This is what I've done with my life. Best of luck.
Act like I'm not here. Fun fact. Do not talk to me. I'm not here. Do you hear me? I mean, you don't, because I'm not here, but I'm not here.
And now, Farm Fresh Butt Nuggets for sale at your mom's house.
Our feature presentation.
What's up, party people?
What's up, Bean?
Hey now.
It is Tuesday, the 13th of March. Did we all shake off our daylight saving time blues yesterday? Did we all get naps, and now we're refreshed, and we're ready for a dynamic program here on K-Rock?
I napped like it was my job yesterday. I don't know about you guys, but
you
wow.
You went for it, huh?
Yeah. Like drool on the pillow nap.
That's how I slept last night, but I unfortunately did not get a nap.
Oh.
We were hurting yesterday, man.
Yeah.
We were hurting. I probably only got about an hour, but if I hadn't gotten that hour's nap in the afternoon, I think I would have died. It was that kind of where you couldn't keep your eyes open with toothpicks, that kind of sleepy, you know?
Sounds dramatic.
I just needed it. So today is going to be vigorous,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be lively.
Okay.
And zesty.
Ah.
Zesty.
Yeah, I don't.
Can it not be zesty?
I like zesty.
Okay. It's going to be magnetic
mm-hmm.
and fiery.
Yes.
And spunky.
Ooh.
It's going to be all of those things today.
Yeah. I don't like spunky.
I don't like what Mike's thinking when he says spunky. I'll tell you that.
Not just Mike. I looked over at Allie.
Yeah.
She gave me that look.
Yeah.
Hey, two things before we get going. One, from time to time, we'll do a story at this time of day, and we say, hey, we'll keep an eye on that, and we'll give you an update. And then we almost never do.
Right.
But yesterday, many listeners pointed out, and I saw the story as well, that the judge has ruled in New Hampshire that the lady who wanted to remain anonymous after winning the $560 million Powerball jackpot can do so, which I'm very surprised that it went her way, because it was pretty much in the rules in New Hampshire, as it is in many states, that you have to agree to have your name be made public if you win. But she fought it. And she won, and she's going to remain anonymous. Do we think that's the right ruling, you guys?
Well, they've got to change it across the board now, don't they?
What do you mean?
They've got to change it that you don't have to come forward in New Hampshire. Otherwise, they're going to be sued every single time.
Yeah, from anybody who wants to remain anonymous, yeah. Her lawyer accepted a lump sum of $264 million after taxes. The first thing he did in her name was give a total of about $250,000 away to several nonprofit groups. He says that the woman plans to give away as much as $50 million in the future.
Wow.
Good for her, man.
And that, you know, all the things we talked about at the time, you know, based on the solicitation and the harassment and violence toward lottery winners, she didn't want to have any part of that. And she said she deserved to remain anonymous. So she won that. So that is an update on that story. All right. Thing two. The president is coming to Los Angeles this afternoon.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a very interesting visit for a lot of reasons. Mr. Trump lost California badly and has very few friends in the state in politics. But that's not what this story is about. I think this story is interesting. John Myers, Sacramento Bureau reporter for the Los Angeles Times, put out a request on Twitter yesterday to say, if the presidential traffic nightmare that's coming used to be called the Obama jam, what do we call it when POTUS 45 is in town making his way toward Beverly Hills for a fundraiser? Because you know what it's like when the president comes to town? They close down a lot of roads and it's a traffic nightmare.
Yeah.
Trumper to bumper.
Mike!
Wow. Well, I'm going to read some for you, Mike, and we'll see if Trumper to bumper is the winner. It may well be. But I want to ask first, why is it I don't remember it ever being a nightmare before Barack Obama when other presidents came to town. Has it always been this way?
I think he just came so much. He was here like every other day, it felt like.
I think he had a girlfriend in town, I think is what was happening. Wow. But I mean, when George W. Bush came to town, when Bill Clinton came to town, do you guys remember it being a disaster like it is when presidents visit now?
I actually remember, I got a chance to be at a function that Bill Clinton came to in 1999 in Monrovia, California. And granted, there was a lot of security and there was a hubbub, but it was like kind of reasonable.
You could drive down there.
Right.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's just the news covers things differently now and social media, that it's just more in your face, that it was happening this whole time. We just didn't know because it wasn't so in your face all the time.
Right.
Yeah, I just don't know, but I just remember I remember it got to the point, you're right, President Obama came a lot, and it got to the point where people were like begging him to not come anymore because they didn't want to take 5 hours to get home those nights. All right, so here are some of these suggestions that readers of the Los Angeles Times came up with. What was yours again, Michael?
Trumper to bumper.
All right. How about, let's rank some of these. How about Trumpstipation? All right, no love. Trump alert. Traffic collusion.
That's not bad.
Donald Geddon.
Doesn't roll off the tongue.
No.
All right. Wall of traffic.
The wall.
Because it, yeah. Let's see. Stormy Way. I don't even think they're playing there. The Trump traffic dump. No. 45 on the 405.
Not bad.
All right. The Trump lump. Okay, it rhymes, but I don't think lump has anything.
Yeah,
Here's a reader who offered two suggestions: the orange obstruction, or the Cheeto clog.
Cheeto clog's the best I've heard.
Cheeto clog's not bad, right?
Yeah.
The Trump clump.
Ooh, I hate the word clump.
The Trump plug.
Ew.
Trumpocalypse. How about that?
It's awfully. It's
hard for me to say.
Kind of.
Here's one that says Trumper to bumper.
Oh.
Trumper to bumper, yeah.
Yeah, it wins.
Right. Make America break again. B-R-A-K-E. Break, because taillights. A cluster Trump.
Ooh, not bad.
All right. Trump lock. Gridlock? Trump lock?
No.
Not feeling it? All right. The Donald throttle. The orange sig alert, the smarmalade. Here's a bumper to Trumper. That's kind of close. Ah, here you go. The Russian hour.
Oh, because it's Russian.
Russia.
I see. Right. Yeah. I don't hate it.
No collision or collusion.
It's just a lot. That's a lot. I mean, it's good, but that's a lot.
All right. So have we come up with a winner? Do we have a winner yet?
Yeah, it's Trumper to bumper or bumper to Trumper?
I went with Trumper to bumper, but I believe someone already it was on that list. Or
no, it was switched up to bumper to Trumper.
Bumper to Trumper. Yeah, I think you might win here, Michael.
Yeah.
I think the thing that came off the top of your head first may be the best one we've heard.
Yeah, I love it.
So well done. So keep an eye out for that. I think he's if I remember correctly, it's San Diego first to see the wall, and then it's up to up to LA. Well, that's what he's doing. He's seeing some wall.
Construction, right?
The
prototypes.
The prototypes, thank you. Models, yeah, for how they're going to build.
Beta wall.
And then up to Beverly Hills for the big fundraiser. So there you go. There's some names to think about as you're sitting in traffic later on today. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin Beecher, shall we?
I'm going to put all my energy, all my aggressive, warlike energy into annihilating you. And I pray to God on the altar of Jesus Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit to give me the strength and just continue to have the hedge of protection of the providence. I know it's there. I don't deserve this providence, but God knows I mean what I'm doing. So just God, please, 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 please open everybody's eyes and raise up other leaders to defeat these people.
So that's what's happening on today's show. Yesterday at this time, we told you the tragic and terrible story about the 20-year-old rugby player in Australia who on a dare ate a slug. And bad things happened to his body as a result of that. Mike suggested a lot of our listeners may have done dumb things on a dare that also did not work out well.
Let's be honest. A lot of our male listeners.
Yes.
It's going to be an occasional chick, but this is a dumb dude thing.
Yeah, you very rarely see a woman jumping off the roof of a house into a swimming pool, for instance. So those are the kind of stories we're going to be looking for when we talk to you later on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Also, our old friend The P is going to be here, Petros Papadakis. A lot of controversy already. The NCAA college basketball tournament has not even begun yet, and there are already a lot of people very ticked off about the seeding. We'll find out why, particularly locally, by the way. So The P will be joining us in the 7 o'clock hour. Comedian Greg Fitzsimmons will be here. Allie, he's one of your favorites.
He's one of my all-time favorite comics and guests, for sure.
And humans, right?
Absolutely.
Is he an asshole? Is that why?
He is not. He's from New York. But he does a lot of great work with Tom Brady and the Best Buddies Foundation.
Okay, so that would explain it.
No, he's just funny. He's just one of, you know, those genuinely funny, just to the core, it's in their bones. Yeah. They can't help not be funny.
Yeah.
That's him.
Another thing about him is that you don't ever get the sense that the Greg Fitzsimmons you're getting in a professional capacity is any different than just who he is as a person.
Absolutely.
Like, there's no divide.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to hug anymore at all? I don't want to make it sound like an overreaction, but there have been several events recently that have made us start to wonder whether hugging is on the way out. So what do you do when you see your bros now? You can't hug. The Afro line on the air today. Thanks for calling that. We've got some messages to play back. And Mike, I know you're very excited. How long have you been waiting for this feature on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning?
Years, sir. Years.
Stinky Pinky leads to him.
Oh. Yeah.
Return of Stinky Pinky. I don't ever want to hear that again. So that's a lot of show, you guys.
It is.
Right? Plus, Ducks tickets to give away, Paley Fest tickets to give away. A lot of good stuff coming up. And we'll tell you, if you missed it yesterday, about how you can open the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness show as well. All that this morning. And Allie's got what's happening right after this on K-Rock. Tuesday morning on the world-famous K-Rock. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. Allie, what is happening?
Well, a lot of people are waking up to the news that rapper Craig Mack has passed away at the age of 46. Probably best known for this song right here.
And if you didn't know who's rapping, I guess I'm going to say Craig Mack with perfect timing. You won't be around next year. My rap's too severe, kicking my flavor in your head.
Right?
Here comes the brand new flavor in your head. Time for new flavor in your head.
That was, he was part of that whole Bad Boy thing in the 90s, right?
Yeah, he was the first sign to Bad Boy. Yeah, he was a protege of Diddy. He released that hit, Flava in Your Ear, in 1994, and the song peaked at number 9 on the Billboard Hot 100. The thing was he came out, and then shortly thereafter, Biggie came out.
Mm.
And then Biggie was on the remix of Flavor in Your Ear with, I just said Flavor in Your Ear, not Flava. But he was on the remix with LL and Rampage and Busta Rhymes, and that pretty much eclipsed Craig Mack, was that remix, and people were like, who's this Biggie guy? And I think that was kind of the beginning of the end for him. But he wound up leaving Bad Boy, put out another record, and then went down to South Carolina, and a lot of people say joined a bit of a cult.
Uh-oh.
And was involved with a community down there that a lot of people were concerned about. But he has passed away at the age of 46, apparently of heart failure at a hospital near his home in Waterboro, South Carolina.
46?
That's rough.
Very, very young. Ridiculous. But wow.
So you killed Biggie.
Nope.
Now you killed Craig Mack.
I did not kill either.
Look out, Diddy. Allie's coming for you.
Well, he'd be the first if I were to choose one of them. Oh, I didn't say that, you guys. But really sad. 46.
Yeah,
good Lord.
Very much so.
And who knows if Biggie hadn't come out right then, how big this guy would have been.
So
his second single, Get Down, was awesome, but people were like, yeah.
It's so strange how timing and just like these random sets of circumstances can just dissolve someone's career.
Yeah, it's nuts. Hey, remember that guy that won the jet ski at the Oscars because he delivered the shortest acceptance speech? So Jimmy gave him a jet ski. Well,
yeah.
His name is Mark Bridges, and he is putting it up for grabs at omaze.com. And the money raised for the sale will benefit the Motion Picture and Television Fund, which provides support and services for current and retired members of the entertainment industry. So depending on how much you donate, between $10 and $5,000, you're going to get raffle tickets for the jet ski, which will be randomly selected by Omaze. Deadline to enter is April 26th, and you must be at least 13 years old to enter.
What about the trip to Havasu that went with?
I don't, it doesn't say.
No.
What if he's keeping that?
Right?
Because he has jet skis.
He already has a whole collection.
Yeah, his whole garage is just jet skis waiting to head out to lakes and such.
He's the Jay Leno of jet skis.
That was hilarious that Jimmy offered a jet ski for the shortest speech. I don't know that it helped. I think most people didn't really go for it. But it was a nice effort anyway, at least to trim that show down a little bit.
Absolutely. Much more, including, thank God, Chris Hardwick has work for at least another year. I'll
Is
talk about that.
The white Steve Harvey?
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. And he's the talented Ryan Seacrest as well, is what I'm saying. Busy, busy, so many jobs. Some birthdays for you. Actor William H. Macy, actress Annabeth Gish, YouTube bassist Adam Clayton, and rapper actor Common. And that's what's happening.
Muse on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Kevin Beat, Afroline on the air. Also, Petros Papadakis talks Sweet 16 and more of March Madness coming up later this morning. Greg Fitzsimmons on the show as well. All right, Mike, how about a quick primer on Stinky Pinky? It goes back decades, but became really, really popular with you and Dr. Drew on the Love Line show, right?
Yeah. I mean, just kind of out of the blue, organically, it became a huge, huge hit. And it started in the Pentagon. I'm not joking. In the early 70s, my father used to play this with other guys staring at these radar screens, hoping that the Soviet Union wouldn't blow us up to nothing. And they had to keep their eyes on things, but they wanted to keep busy. So they played this wordplay game where you give a guy two riddle-like clues, and he has to guess the answer. The answer you know is two words that rhyme. So here's an example. If I were to say smelly finger, the answer would be Stinky Pinky.
Stinky
That's
Pinky.
Where
okay.
the name came from.
Okay.
I gotcha. And so anyone can play. All they do is they just call up and they give it to you. And the thing with you and Dr. Drew was they just tried to stump you. That
yes.
was the prize was beating you.
Yes. And I have basically. A very limited intellectual capacity, yet I'm awesome. Drew is a genius, is horrible. And I'm the reigning champion. And I encourage anyone to try to get the answer quicker than I do. If you give me one that sucks, you will hear my wrath.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let me give you one.
All right.
And then we'll go to some phone calls.
Please.
At 1-800-520-1067 if you've got your own stinky pinky. So this is one for the room to play. All right?
All right.
A wet puppy. A wet puppy.
Wet puppy. Soggy doggy?
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's how it's done.
Oh my God.
I don't know what that is, but that's how it's done.
I
don't know if I'm going to be good at this game. How about you, Allie?
No.
I think both you guys seem like people who would be very good at it. You're eloquent and you're smart.
Let's find out, shall we?
Oh, wait. I'm sorry.
Here we go. Oh, is there an intro?
It's time to play Stinky Pinky. It's a word game called Stinky Pinky. Everybody in the world, they love Stinky Pinky. No. It's time to play Stinky Pinky. It's a word game called Stinky Pinky.
Oh, yeah. Let's
and we're committed to that intro. That's a keeper. That's what we're going
you
with.
You tell me. I felt it.
All right. Why don't we start with, let's start with Esme. She is in all places Wisconsin, you guys. Is it Ripon, Wisconsin, Esme?
Yeah. Yep.
Where the hell is that?
Middle of nowhere. Still
okay.
In the middle of the state.
All right. Well, thank you for streaming the Kevin DeBeat Show. We appreciate that. Were you a Stinky Pinky fan from the Loveline days?
I sure was. I actually, Mike says that I saved the game because they talked about quitting, and I called in and bitched at them. So
yeah,
wow,
she's a real champion.
Well, then you're the exact right person to kick us off here this morning with your stinky pinky.
Right.
What do you have for us?
I've got a luxury car and a bone.
Beamer femur.
Yep.
Oh. Mike, you are good. Thank you,
wow.
Esme.
Esme, you're a great American. You're a great American.
You live
woman.
Indeed. By the way, you could have given me an hour, and I would not have come up with
I
that.
I was like, Lexus Nexus? Is a Nexus a boat?
All right.
This is not good.
I don't know what's happening, but we go from Wisconsin to line three. Karen is in Huntsville, Alabama, you guys. Is
nice.
The show suddenly nationwide? What's happening right now? Karen, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. You're on with Mike and Allie and Bean. It's time for Stinky Pinky.
All right. I got a country cycle.
A country cycle. Is a something bike, I'm thinking. Am I wrong about that?
It might be. No, it's she. What is it, Karen?
Rural minstrel.
Yay, what? No!
Wait, what?
Take your phone!
and hang it up and put it in your keister. No.
What was her answer?
I don't know, and it didn't rhyme.
Rural didn't sound like a word.
Rural, like the country.
Rural, okay.
Menstrual, like a period.
A psych. But menstrual. It's menstrual.
Yeah, it's menstrual doesn't rhyme with rural.
Listen, you hang up with this woman, and I want to make it very clear. No, like M&M rhymes. You're not like words that are kind of sound again. They better be perfect rhymes.
She said menstrual.
Not even menstrual, right. That is very weird. All right.
Thank you for calling from Alabama.
Let's keep it local. Let's go to line one. Adrian is in Anaheim. Maybe we'll have better luck here. Adrian, welcome to Stinky Pinky. You're on the air, sir.
Hey, guys.
Adrian.
Pickup. And not going anywhere.
A pickup and not going. A truck stuck.
Oh, Bean!
Yep.
Nice, okay. Bean!
Woo! Way to go, Bean.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. All right, let's go to, how about line six? Jennifer is in Riverside, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jennifer, good morning. Welcome to Stinky Pinky. What do you have for us, my dear?
Hi, good morning. How about closing eye? A closing eye.
A closing eye.
So, like, shutting your eye.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shutting. How is this going to be two words that rhyme?
I think I got it.
Mugs go.
Sleep peep?
No.
That's terrible.
closing eye.
What is
it? I think I give up, yeah.
You guys give up? I stumped you?
Yes.
Yes, I think so.
Winky blinky.
Wait, how is winky?
Yeah, you can't.
Winky, you close, you shut. Winky, and then I, blinky.
Yeah, but how is I a clue for blink? That's a term. Blinking is a verb. And then I, no!
I stumped you.
No, I'm not! See, how dare you? The arrogance. You gave me two random words that mean nothing, and then you say you stumped me? Oh, go to hell.
I have a thank you for calling, Jennifer. I have a feeling we're not done with Stinky Pinky, by the way. Stand by for more. Hey, funny people. If you think you have what it takes to be the opening act for the sold-out Kevin and Bean April Foolishness, we are looking for you once again this year. I think this is year four for April Foolishness. We have had the opening act contest. You can go to KROQ.com right now if you are 18 and up and funny. Complete your submission. Send us a YouTube link of your comedy act, and we will pick the top 10 finalists at the end of next week. Then the Kevin and Bean listeners can vote on who they want to see opening up the show on the 31st at the Microsoft Theater. Comedians, we're looking for you to open April Foolishness. And then you get to put on your resume for the rest of your life. Yeah, I opened for Fluffy. Right? Pretty good deal. And you get in front of thousands of Kevin and Bean listeners as well. So good luck with that. All right. The Kevin and Bean Afro line is on the air right now. 323-520-AFRO. That's our voicemail line. You can leave us a message 24 hours a day. We always say, and Dave tweets this out a lot. He says, hey, you're drunk right now. Give us a call. Tell us what's going on. Well, somebody really did pay attention to that and called when they were really drunk.
Kevin.
No, it just started. Kevin and me.
And Ali.
We
love you. We're drunk as... We can't say that.
Oh. We're on air.
I want them to keep calling. I want to know what happened to the party after that. Listeners often call with the tough decisions.
Dude, I got a fart so bad, but I'm on my way to pick up an Uber rider, and I don't want to fart because it might smell up my car, and I feel kind of bad, but I just got to do it. So I'm leaving this message in the hopes that my pickup is someone like Kevin or someone like Allie, where I pick you up and my car just smells like fart. So if in the next few days you get into a car that smells like fart, that was me.
Wow, his fart lingers in the next few days.
That call was quite intense, wasn't it? Allie, everybody loves your What's Happening feature here on the Kevin and Bean Show. But from time to time, someone calls in and is kind enough to offer up a new theme song for it. And I think you'll appreciate this.
Allie, what's happening? What's happening? What's happening? What's happening? Seriously, though, I just want to know what's happening.
Here's a familiar voice calling the Kevin and Bean Afro Live.
Kevin and Bean, Stryker calling. I just had a tuna wrap that was so good.
I'm on the phone, babe.
Hold on.
All right. So he settled things with his wife.
Uh-huh.
Called us back.
Oh, good.
Sorry about that. The second I called, my wife is yelling, who am I talking to? Anyway, the tuna wrap was great, and I wanted to tell you, Kevin Bean, that I really like your billboard. The artist should get kudos. All right. Bye.
How about our billboard, by the way?
Right?
That's a thing. And yeah. I sometimes forget that we actually have a Kevin and Bean Show billboard that's down there by the Coliseum parking lot 6 on West Martin Luther King. But listeners continue to go by and get their picture taken with it. You saw that that social media message yesterday, Allie, somebody who keeps driving up and down that street and finally saw it behind the trees.
Yep.
Fantastic placement for our one and only billboard. But glad you're enjoying that. Here's a fun fact that was left for us.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Did you know diarrhea is hereditary? It runs in your genes.
Hey-o! Boom! Speaking of jokes, when we were giving away tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Fool's this last week, we did a whole round of Yo Mama jokes. This guy may not get how it works.
Yo Mama's so fat that she went on Biggest Loser, and she lost a lot of weight, and honestly, she looks pretty good these days. Good for her.
That's lovely.
I don't know that that's how a Yo Mama joke works, but I think this one might be.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, this is Sally, and I'm calling about the Yo Mama jokes. My son said they suck so bad, he has to tell you one to at least make you guys laugh. Here he is. His name is Logan Gomez.
Your mama's so short, she hang glides on a Dorito. Bam.
Bam! Bam! I love you, Logan. He dropped the bam at the end of it.
So cute.
That was awesome, little Logan. Here's a call about Kevin, who you thought was on vacation. He may not be.
I just want to say that, you know, I'm kind of glad that Kevin's dead. You know, rest in peace, Kev Dog. Because if he had been alive through that kid joke segment, he probably would have taken his own life.
How dare you? That was that was my favorite thing we've done this whole year, you guys.
Absolutely agree, Bean.
And Kevin is fine. He's alive and well and probably at a soccer game somewhere, and he'll be back on Monday. How is Alexa going to come at me like this?
Hey, Alexa, when's this time change?
Daylight savings time will begin on Sunday, March 11th, 2018.
Did you hear that, Bean? Saving.
I hate you, Alexa. All right, I need a consensus of the room here.
Sure.
Is this caller scary or is this awesome?
Hey, Bean, it's your secret admirer. Just calling to wish you a happy 1/6 Christmas. See you soon.
What do you guys think? I feel pretty good about it so far.
I mean, the see you soon is concerning.
Yeah.
All right. Well, she does call back.
Okay.
Hey, Bean, it's your secret admirer. I didn't mean to say see you soon. Or did I?
Oh, well, she's gone directly into Creepy Town.
I don't know. I still keep an open mind. I still think we may have a future together. All right. Finally, I don't know why this is happening, but I hate it and I want it to stop. And please don't do this.
I literally need it to be a new segment where women call in to fart for Bean. I'm trying to push one out right now, and I wish I could. The scene, if you could smell my fart, I would sincerely appreciate it. New segment idea. Thanks.
Why?
And why choose Bean? Just direct that over to me and Omar, and we'll be perfectly happy to sit and listen all the live long day.
Yeah, you guys can appreciate it. Was this because of my my hate for the Chuck Berry tape? You think that's where this is coming from?
Yeah, maybe that's it. You can smell my fart. That's what she was doing.
Which I hated so much.
Respect to her.
So please don't.
Wait, do you hate it because of what's going on or because it's rock and roll legend Chuck Berry and you think better?
I hate
that's exactly.
Okay.
No, it's more because he thinks that his name shouldn't be sullied in such a way that he pees on hookers and asks them to smell his fart. And
you smell that fart.
Keep Chuck Berry's name out of your mouth. That's what I have to say. Thanks for the calls, everybody. The Afro Line is open 24/7 just for you. It's our answering machine at 323-520-AFRO. Allie's got what's happening next on K-Rock.
I may have misspoke a few minutes ago when I said that Kevin was going to be back on the show on Monday. It just occurred to me, Allie, that he's going to be in Dublin, Ireland this Saturday on St. Patrick's Day. So wow. I think there's a 50-50 chance he won't get out of there alive or sober enough to get on a plane to come home.
You're right.
I mean, St. Patrick's Day in Dublin, Ireland is where Kevin's going to be. I'll tell you where we're going to be is down the hall in the HD Radio sound space here at K-Rock as the band Flogging Molly stops by to celebrate the holiday a little bit with us. If you'd like to be there in person and you're 21 and up, keep on listening. Your chance to win coming up in less than an hour from right now. They're a great live band, too. You're going to have a super fun time. So less than 1 hour from right now, you can call in to win your tickets for Flogging Molly in the HD Radio Sound Space. Another chance to win at krock.com. It's Tuesday morning, 6:53. Allie, what's happening?
Well, since you brought up St. Patrick's Day, let's consider the health benefits of beer.
Mm.
Oh.
Shall we?
Sure.
Hellowella.com informs us that moderate beer consumption has been linked to a number of different health benefits, including providing heavy amounts of B vitamins and reducing the risk of kidney stones.
Beer mug, congratulations, you're going to live forever.
Fantastic.
And is that reducing the risk of kidney stones just because you're peeing a ton?
Peeing all the time, I bet.
So you're just kind of flushing your system? Well, it also promotes bone strength, important in preventing osteoporosis, and it's highest in pale beers and those with higher levels of hops. So the more pale beer you drink, the better bones you have.
That is awesome. Mm. That is awesome.
Mm-hmm. But what if you like dark beers? Maybe you're a stout kind of guy or gal. Well, dark beers contain more fiber than light beers, so they're packed with iron. And fiber helps reduce cholesterol levels, and iron carries oxygen in the blood and regulates cell growth. So moderate beer consumption.
Did they say what moderate is?
They don't, but I'm sure if I went to hellowella.com, because it sounds legit,
sure.
I could find some more factoids. But I'm thinking moderate is probably 1 to 2 a day, right?
Wow. Awesome.
All right.
Excuse me.
That's okay, Muggs. Muggs, how many beers would you say you have a day?
Well, during March Fatness, zero, Allie.
Uh-huh.
But a day... I'd like to gauge it with a week. I'd like to say I have 12 to 13 beers a week on a normal
but
month.
But that's one night, right? Like you go three or four nights with none.
Yeah, or split up like 6 and 6. I really don't drink a lot of beer. I love it, but it just once
12 to 13 a week is not a lot of beer.
I mean, judging other people I know?
Yeah, well said. Well said, Mugs.
It sounds like you need less beer.
Actually, you need a beer right now.
Fire Beer Mug.
Wait, did Beer Mug just say during March Fatness, none?
Yeah.
None,
People say on Saturday that you were drinking beers?
Okay, I might have had one at Lance's party.
And I like how he does the judging against other people. I don't really drink a lot, but he's using like Tan Mom as a...
Yes, or Monty.
As a point of reference.
So the takeaway here, Allie, for those who got lost in the weeds of this story is drink a lot of beer and you'll live forever and be healthy, right?
That's really not the takeaway, no.
Oh, that's what I heard.
Okay, not at all. Hey, thank God Chris Hardwick is going to be working for at least a little time more. The Wall has been picked up for a third season. That's 20 more episodes. In case you don't know what The Wall is, it's basically a bunch of contestants competing for a grand prize of more than $12 million. And it looks like a big old Plinko wall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's actually shocking how it sucks you in. When I heard about the show, I was like, come on. Whatever. Then you get so invested in these people and you just want them to succeed.
Yeah, it's a good show, and I'm going to tell you something else that's not going to shock anyone. Chris Hardwick is an excellent television host.
What?
He's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
He's really smooth.
It's almost maddening.
He's a pro.
Yeah.
The Wall has very low ratings with the Mexican community, though.
It is averaging 6 million viewers per show this season, which is not bad. And a lot of people were shocked by ABC's American Idol on Sunday pulling in 10.3 million viewers.
Although, I am surprised by that amount.
Yeah, although the premiere was down 23% from Fox's last season premiere and finale, it was the top show of the evening for ABC. So who knows if it's just looky-loos that wanted to watch the first show just to see it or if it will sustain that, but... I did not see that coming, for sure.
I don't need that show.
No.
I really felt that America felt the same way as Bean. I can't believe it. But we'll see, like, the finale. Let's see how many people hold on.
For sure. And ABC's Apple TV streaming service has picked up two seasons of its first. Let me start over. How's everyone?
We all need a beer.
Seriously.
Rewind.
Apple TV streaming service has picked up two seasons of its very first animated series. It's a musical, Central Park, from the folks that gave us Bob's Burgers. The show will reportedly be about a family of caretakers who live and work in Central Park, end up saving the park and basically the world. Listen to the voice cast for the show. Josh Gad, Leslie Odom Jr., Titus Burgess, Kristen Bell, Stanley Tucci, Katherine Hahn, David Diggs.
Wow.
Good Lord. Not bad. And if it's from the guys that brought you Bob's Burgers, that's going to be a pretty good show. Some birthdays for you. Rapper, actor, Common. Actors William H. Macy, Emile Hirsch, Annabeth Gish, and YouTube bassist Adam Clayton. And that's what's happening.
Petros Papadakis joins us later this hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show to talk about all the confusion about who gets into the NCAA college basketball tournament. A lot of USC fans very disappointed right now, by the way. And I'm sure P is as well. So we'll talk to him on the way. Also, comedian Greg Fitzsimmons coming up later this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Yesterday, we came on the air and told you a very sad story about a rugby player in Australia who, on a dare, took a slug off the table and swallowed it. That's a dumb thing to do, even if there are no further consequences for you. It's a terrible way for the slug's life to end. So I'm just going to say in general, don't do that, all right? But as it turned out, there was some awful disease that the slug had, and he ended up being paralyzed as a result of it. He's now a quadriplegic, suffering from seizures, eating and breathing through tubes, and requiring constant care. This was a 20-year-old in the prime of his life, a super healthy guy who ate a slug, and that's what happened to him. So we talked about that story. We were very sad about it. And then Mike brought up, you know, I'm kind of not surprised because I would have done the same thing when I was 20 because I was a dumbass.
Yeah.
And lots of people, and you said it, Mike, mostly dudes, do a lot of dumb things on a dare. There's just something in your brain that makes you think, this is going to be funny, or this is going to get me respect, or I'm going to get a dollar, or whatever it is with a dare.
Yeah.
And we thought it might be an interesting phone topic to find out if you've ever said yes to a dare and then regretted it or had something bad happen as a result of it. So we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You did a dare, and it may have been a mistake. Mike, it sounds like you had a lot of history behind what you were saying to me.
I've done terribly stupid stuff. And the reason why guys, I think young men, do this so often, because it's a terrible mixture of questioning a young man's kind of fortitude and manhood. Mm-hmm. Also, it guarantees you attention. So it's this terrible recipe where you're like, oh, yeah, I'll do it. I'll totally do it. I got really ill because I was at my friend Steve's house when I was probably like 11. And my other friend Nick dared me to rub my hands together with dog poo. There was a giant lump of it.
Mike.
Put it in my hands, rub it together, and then put it on my face.
Mike.
Why would you ever do that?
Because I could jump in the pool immediately after.
But that's terrible.
But now there's poo in the pool.
I know.
There's poo in the pool.
Yeah, it was a really bad move.
Oh, my God, that's awful.
I wish you'd
never told me that story.
Oh.
I drank a bottle of A1. And vomited like crazy.
Hold on a sec. Go back to the poop for a second.
No, that's not.
Let's go back to the poop for a second.
Go to the A1.
Was it money on the line? Or was
no.
it just bragging rights?
No, I was young enough that I didn't even need that. Just needed
because,
attention.
Because how does that make you look good if you're the stupid kid who's dumb enough to rub poop on his hands and on his face? How is that a win for young Mike Catherwood?
Because people were laughing so hard they were practically paralyzed, you know? And that was
okay.
That's all I needed.
All right. You got to be the center of the attention and the guy who was brave enough to do something no one else would do.
That one wasn't even, I don't think, about like the brave, because it wasn't like, hey, do a backflip on a dirt bike. It was just everyone will laugh a lot.
Okay.
And that was all I needed.
Comedy was your motivation.
Yeah.
All right. A1 sauce.
I drank a bottle of A1, like a full-size one you'd see on like a table.
Uh-huh.
And I vomited a lot.
Was it instantaneous vomit?
No. It was like, give me a moment. And then like people saw the look on my face, then started laughing. I was like, no.
No,
and then I ran away. And
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now, when something like that happens, Mike, Do you afterwards regret it because you vomited, or are you still on the high of everybody was laughing and I was the hit of the party? I'm glad I did it.
That one I did regret because I was like 30. And
and it was at your wedding.
and there was no real payoff. And I really was sick. Like, I mean, I couldn't. I had that real uncomfortable, awkward belly feeling for like 3 hours. You know, it didn't add up. It wasn't worth it.
No, totally not worth it. All right. What else do you do?
I ate a Band-Aid on Hollywood Boulevard.
That one was for money. Whose Band-Aid?
We were walking down Hollywood by like Ivar. And this is in the late 90s when there was no Hollywood and Highland. It was just a crap neighborhood. And for what got up to like hundreds of dollars, I ate a Band-Aid that we saw on the sidewalk.
That isn't good for you.
God.
Oh, my gosh.
And I've been tested since. I'm clean. But
that could have been disastrous.
It could have been AIDS.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, just blood just off the street. Yeah. 1-800-520-1067. You did a dare, and it was dumb. That's what we're looking for. Muggs, you've been quiet so far, but I know you, and I know you must have a story to contribute.
I do, yeah. excuse me. High school, driving back, carpooling with my buddy. He picked his nose. Had a booger in his hand.
Oh, Muggs.
And just like for Mike, just the comedic aspect of it, he says, I dare you to eat my booger.
Without
hesitation, boom, I ate it. Immediately felt sick afterwards. But I sure did get a lot of laughter.
I'm laughing now just thinking about it.
Muggs, why would you do that? I guess you explained why.
Yeah.
Because you wanted to be the funny guy.
Yeah.
Center of attention guy.
Yeah.
This won't surprise you guys, but I don't think I have. I mean, the only dares I ever do is, I bet you can't run up this escalator, you know, that's a down escalator.
Right.
I bet you can't run up.
I remember that one.
If you can. But I don't have anything.
Bean, you have a thing about you that it's almost like everyone acknowledges the dare without even saying it, and you're the guy who does this daring stuff on the air. But as far as like interview questions and stuff,
there's no comparison to having a fun conversation and eating a booger. I'm sorry, that's not even in the same category.
What about wiping poo on your face? Similar?
In a million years, I would never ever do that. There's not enough money in the world for that.
I don't think I'm a dare person, but I have done stuff for the story. Like if there's a dude, I'll be like, I'd do him for the story.
Sure.
And I would.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you got this job. Yeah.
Night with OJ, too, right? All right. 1-800-520-1067. You did a dare, and it was dumb. Why don't we start with good old Edgar, line 3, please. Edgar is in L.A., and he joins us up first on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, this might be an inappropriate segment for people who are eating breakfast. I should just say.
Or just living their lives.
Or alive and can hear. Edgar, what'd you do, son?
Well, when I was younger, when gas prices were pretty low, I really needed gas money. So I worked at a restaurant, and they dared me to drink a pint of barbecue sauce through a straw for $5.
A pint of barbecue.
That's a lot of barbecue.
That is a lot of barbecue sauce, yeah. Oh,
and man. It's worse doing it through the straw, because at least I guzzled the A1. That would be really tough.
How much, it would take a long time.
How much did you puke?
I managed to choke it down for maybe a minute, but I ended up puking for the next 20.
Oh my gosh. Did you get the gas money though? Did it end up being worth it?
I did get the gas money. I mean, right now it sounds pretty bad because $5 doesn't get you anything, but back then it was pretty nice.
All right, Edgar, thank you for confessing. We appreciate that. Let's go to Andy, line 2, Long Beach, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's worse than drinking barbecue sauce? Let's find out. Andy, welcome to the show, sir.
Hi, how's it going?
What'd you do? It was a dare, and maybe it was a bad idea, but you went for it.
Okay, so I was at a party, and apparently I was drinking, of course. Someone threw up into a cup. I didn't see them throw up into a cup, but there was throw up in a cup. And I turned around and I said, hey, what's that? And they're like, don't drink it. I was like, why not? I'll drink it. They're like, we'll give you $5 to drink it. And next thing I know, I grabbed it, took it all the way down, just put it back. And it obviously tasted chunky and nasty. A little citrusy, And my buddies are like, bro, you don't want to know what that was.
Wow.
And that was that.
Is it done?
That was that.
Allie took her headphones out, by the way.
Yeah, I don't blame her. Andy, did you then vomit as a result of drinking?
No. I was just like, I was more ticked off at the fact that my friend did it to me. Bro, that's puke. Then I was like, all right, I'm not going to drink it.
But they said don't drink it.
Well, I was drunk. What are you supposed to do? You drink it.
What are you supposed to do, Mike? He was drunk. Andy, thank you for the call. I can't.
My God, why is there vomit everywhere?
Oh, please.
Andy going to replace Rex Tillerson, I hear.
Why are we doing this phone topic?
Oh, I love it so much.
Why does this happen? Why does this exist? All right, we'll take some more calls. 1-800-520-1067. Right after this, we're going to get right back to some K-Rock music from Imagine Dragons coming up next on K-Rock. Are we regretting this phone topic yet, you guys?
Yep. Nope.com.
Yep.
Talking about you accepted a dare, and maybe it was a bad idea. 1-800-520-1067. Kirk is in Westminster, up next on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Kirk, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. What was the dare, sir?
It was to be maced, actually. Which, okay. We all know alcohol is involved in the story before I even get started on it, you know?
And was there money that changed hands there, or was it just for comedy you agreed to be maced?
Strictly comedy, just the usual.
You're a champion. I love you.
It's weird because I didn't know this stuff, like, takes your breath away. So I'm sitting there gasping, and no one is thinking that's going to come out of it. So
you were thinking it felt good, right? You were thinking, oh, macing? Oh, I bet that's delightful.
Oh, yeah, like a massage to the eyes or something like that.
Mace is like a massage to the eyes. Mike, I think we've just found you a new best friend.
I love you, Kirk.
All right, Kirk, thanks for calling. Thanks for listening to K-Rock. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. We're talking about dares you took that may, in retrospect, have not demonstrated your best maturity, I think is a good way to put it. Christine, our assistant producer, says, how do guys survive past the age of 18 listening to these phone calls? That's a really good question, by the way. All right, let's go right back to it. Line 3, this is going to be Stephen S. He's in Huntington Beach, up next on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Hey, Stephen, you heard us talking about dares, and you thought of what memory?
Yeah, good morning. it was a long time, maybe about, I don't know, 20, before I was obviously old enough to drink. And me and my buddies were out in and out. And my one buddy knows I'll do pretty much anything stupid for money. And he came up with the bright idea of me taking X-Lax pills. And so we went over to a Walmart. We bought a pack of them. I ended up taking about 6 or 7 X-Lax pills. And this is obviously after I took down 2 double doubles at In-N-Out.
Oh, my gosh.
So, of course, we all hung out for maybe a good hour and a half. My buddies thought that they were going to see the after effect, and they didn't. So we had to call it a night. Well, unfortunately, at that time, I worked at the Huntington Beach Hyatt, and I had to get out to work. And that's when the effect took place. And I could not get off the can, and I ended up being late for work.
Oh, my gosh. By the way, I don't know much about X-Lax, but 7 pills seems like more than is necessary.
It was for like $60 or $70. It was like almost $10 a pill. So I was like, screw it, I need the extra money. And so the funny part is I was late for work about 10 or 15 minutes, and my boss pulls me in and goes, all right, you're late. You better give me a really good reason why you're late. And when I told him why I was late and the reason I couldn't get off the can, he started busting up laughing so hard he was crying. And he goes, I will not write you up if that is true. And I go, oh, it's true. And I might have to run to the bathroom more often today.
That's awesome. And you felt so clean and so fresh, too. All right. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. That was a good one. Let's go to, John Whittier, please. Line 7, up next to the Kevin DeBeach Show. Hey, John, welcome to the program. Are you as dumb as Mike Catherwood? Have you done lots of things for money?
Oh, I've done many a dumb things for money, and I'm not proud of any of them.
Let's hear it. What's your favorite?
Okay, well, this one happened. This is back around 2002. I was working out in Salt Lake City on the Olympics, and one of the girls in the office had received this cookie bouquet about a year prior, and a good buddy of mine, who I still love and cherish, challenged me to take down 4 of the cookies from the cookie bouquet and followed up with a Costco-sized bottle of Hershey chocolate syrup.
And how old were these cookies?
They were sitting on this girl's desk for just under a year.
Okay. Oh, my God.
All right. Cookies for a year and then a bottle of chocolate syrup. How much did you make for that?
I think we lost John.
Oh, we lost him.
I was thinking about it as John was talking. My worst one, I can't even believe I didn't think of it. I have a giant tattoo on my arm on a dare. It's my friend is a fat minotaur. Absolutely, we were at lunch, and he's like, I dare you. And we came up with these wacky ideas, and now I have it. I made a huge tattoo.
Why would you do that?
It is funny.
And how did that slip your memory?
That was
a bad decision.
Speaking of tattoos, Michael, Angela's on line 5. She's in Santa Monica. First of all, she is a woman, the only lady calling on Dumb Dare topic. Second of all, hers also involves a tattoo, I think. Is that right, Angela?
It sure does.
What happened? Tell us the story.
Okay, so I got dared to get an emoji tattooed on my my rear end. Can I say ass?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
I didn't know it was gonna be. I thought it was gonna be like a cute little smiley face. You know, there are so many different smiley faces. My friends picked the poop emoji.
Yep.
Oh.
Can we get married, Angela?
Seriously. And that's on your butt. You have the poop emoji.
Oh, I sure do.
How
and
big is
let
it?
Let me tell you, conversations during sex are interesting.
You know, Angela, if anybody doesn't like it, you just tell them it's chocolate soft serve yogurt. They'll never know.
Yeah, exactly. Friends of mine have told me to tell people that it's like the soft serve yogurt.
Yeah, I think Muggs just said,
said that, literally.
What Allie was asking, how large is this this emoji tattoo?
It's big size. I mean, it's not huge. I'd say I'm trying to compare it to something like bigger than a silver dollar.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
It's a good tattoo.
I think we need a photo, you guys. I think we need to see a photo of that. Would you take a picture of your butt for us, Angela?
I absolutely can. I'm driving to work, but I can't.
Okay, when it's convenient. Thank you for the call, my dear. We appreciate it. You're our kind of people. All right, let's do a couple more real fast. Let's make Murrieta's Stephen C. line 2 up next. You know, when we started talking about these dares, Mike, I think the example that I gave is how many people I have seen jump off roofs into swimming pools.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which is exactly the type of thing you do when you're a little buzzed and you think it's going to be hilarious. But man, you've seen those YouTube videos where it does not end well. And I think, Stephen, you had a jump dare as well, right?
Yeah, I was I think in seventh grade, so I was like 12, maybe 13, and my friend didn't dare me. I was with a friend, but I dared myself to jump off of this ledge. So I said to my friend, hey, do you dare me to jump off of this ledge? And then he said no, and I did it anyways. When I landed, I broke my collarbone.
Oh,
no.
Oh, that is so much pain.
Yeah. That takes a long time to recover from, right?
Yeah, it was a long time. Yeah.
Good Very thinking, painful. Steve. Well done, sir. Appreciate that. Let's do one more. Let's go to Fresno. This is going to be Logan. Logan, what you sipping?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning to you. Adair?
I have a good one for you guys.
All right.
So the company that I work for in Fresno, we've had a lot of theft over the years. We're in the metal business, scrap metal business. So to prevent theft, we had a really nice electric fence put around our company.
Oh, yes.
So I got dared to touch the electric fence after it was put in.
And I did it.
And after I touched it, I jumped back about 15 feet, not literally 15 feet, and all the employees asked me, did I load my pants after that? I said, nope, and to this day, they all respect me for it.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure it's respect.
Sure they do, Logan.
they don't at all laugh at you behind your back at all, Logan.
Oh yeah, they trust me. I'm sure they do.
That's gotta be like getting tased, right? Touching an electric fence. I mean that is potentially deadly. I would imagine, right?
It's not deadly because they're legal. we don't own the fence, but we rent it. That's the only way you can have an electric fence legally is if you rent it from a company.
Oh.
And it's just to keep theft out. It's not like it's not enough to kill you or
gotcha.
Anything,
okay.
It'll make you never want to touch it again.
Well, keep doing what you're doing, Logan. We appreciate you, man.
I certainly will, guys.
All right, bye-bye now.
Nice job, dumbass.
One of our faves, you guys, Greg Fitzsimmons, joins us in studio coming up just after 8 a.m. here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And don't forget, you can still be the opening act for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. Go over to krock.com and get all the details. Deadline is a week from Friday at 10 a.m. Then you get to open the show on the 31st at the Microsoft Theater. Petras is on the phone, you guys. You think he got the jean jacket?
I hope so.
P?
Not yet.
Oh, he's not on the phone? All right.
No. I find it strange that there's debate over Jean Jacket. I think the Jean Jacket's awesome.
It is awesome. He is the co-host of the Petras Money Radio Show on AM 570, also a former USC Trojans football captain. He has some very definite thoughts about the seeding for this year's NCAA tournament bracket. All right, do we have the P on the phone?
No, Mike, can you do an impression of P?
What happened? I thought this was all set up. Yeah. Is this a surprise to anyone that we're talking to Petras here?
Oh, I'm working on it. I am just, it's not my morning. I lost an hour of sleep 2 days ago, and the Clippers lost. Oh.
Let me give something away here while we're waiting. How about that?
Okay.
That won't screw you up, will it, Allie?
No.
All right, since we're talking sports, let's do this. A pair of tickets to go see the Anaheim Ducks versus the Detroit Red Wings at Honda Center on Friday night. This is the awesome K-Rock deal where you get the two tickets, you get the two hot dogs, and you get the two beers. If you're 21 and up and you want to see some Ducks hockey at the Honda Center with the Red Wings in town, which is always a great matchup, you can call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Caller 20, you win the Ducks prize pack. You can get that same deal, by the way. It's a K-Rock special. On Friday nights at Honda Center this season, go to AnaheimDucks.com or call 877-WILD-WING. All right, so call now. Call our 20.
How's that going, Dave?
Yeah.
This is a real surprise to me. Petras is the most reliable guy in broadcasting.
He might be.
I'll have him in just a second.
All right. Just talking about ourselves.
All right.
Why is this happening? P, was this Dave or was this you? What was the problem getting you on the air just now?
I'm here.
Well, what was happening?
I don't like to blame others.
It was totally Dave.
Was Dave misdialing or something?
How late am I?
Like 2 minutes?
Oh.
Look, we love you, and I'm certain it's not your fault. But
No. There might be a technical problem here in my home.
It was,
as you know, I live on the side of a mountain alone.
Yeah. It was. I thought you had the wife and the two kids.
Yeah, they're here.
Okay. Hey, P, listen, we got a lot of basketball we want to talk about. But first, we're on the edge of our seat. We saw what was unfolding on the Petras and Money social media yesterday. Did you pull the trigger and buy the jeans jacket?
No.
Aww.
Why not,
dude?
Because I fear judgment. You know, I've gotten a slew of correspondence from white men my age all over the world who say a jean jacket does nothing but collect mothballs in their closet.
Hey, stop it. Listen, Petras, listen to me very closely. It's Mike Catherwood.
Hi, Mike.
If you were to collect all of the criticism that you got about broadcasting from a bunch of guys who could barely speak English, it would drive you crazy. So why would you take into any consideration a bunch of style tips from a bunch of guys who are wearing Affliction with their hat backwards?
I'm just really sensitive about the jean jacket.
All right.
You know, I would put it on. You know, I've been looking at them all night on the phone. Different jean jackets and different styles and different Levi's jean jackets, because I think I have to go Levi's if I ever went.
Yeah. I think you should go Levi's, and I think it would look fantastic on you. And I'm telling you, I know you well enough to
see. They're so skinny, these people.
Oh, you could pull it off, Petras. You would look great in a jean jacket.
I don't know, man.
Might I suggest a darker dye?
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying.
Well, I'm just saying.
How stiff do you want the denim to be, Allie?
Pretty stiff, but I'm thinking a darker dye with your skin tone would be better than like an acid wash or a lighter.
There we go. All right. How about that? You got a little ladies' advice here.
Popped collar.
Never.
No, no. Flat collar, rigid indigo, as Allie is pointing out.
Yes.
Well, if I don't pop my collar, how am I going to do my Morrissey hair?
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Well, now we're getting into some more problem areas. Listen, P, we've eaten up all of our time on the jean jacket, but I'm very concerned and very confused by the ranking in the NCAA tournament. And I think a lot of local college basketball fans are as well. If you're a fan of the Trojans basketball program, do you have a right to be miffed at being left out of the NCAA tournament this time around?
You know, I think so to a certain degree, but if you're a fan of Arizona State who got in over USC, you also have plenty of arguments. USC has left a great deal to be desired, and whether they made the tournament or not, you know, this was a top 10 team when the season started, mm-hmm. and you can make a very compelling argument that they were the most disappointing team in basketball this year. Because they kind of really underachieved. Now they did better in conference than most people, but I don't think they beat anybody in conference that got into the tournament. So USC has some big problems. The only teams they beat on their resume, so to speak, the only teams they beat that are in the tournament are teams like New Mexico State and Fullerton. They got beat up in the early season, and Arizona State had a better early part of the season. Now, the argument that people are making is that a basketball team evolves as the season goes on. And really, you can just argue it however you want. You could say USC got screwed, but you could also say that they very much made their own bed. And the committee's feelings about the Pac-12 were pretty noted in that Arizona's only a 4 seed, and then the rest of our teams are just in the play-in the next couple nights here.
Well, I want to talk about the play-in as it relates to UCLA in a second here. So is it unusual to be ranked second in the Pac-12 and not make the 64?
Very.
Yeah.
But it's also been a terrible – it's also unusual. This year has been an anomaly. I mean, last year, Oregon made the Final Four, which was very odd, and from the Pac-12, obviously. It's been a very down year for the revenue sports. In all the other sports, like pole vaulting, we kick ass on the West Coast. But this year, for the revenue sports, men's basketball and football, it's been incredibly down for the West Coast. In fact, the Pac-12 was 1-8 in the bowl games, which is the worst bowl record ever.
That's right, yeah.
In recorded history. And now two of our teams are in the play-in games, and Arizona is a 4 seed, and USC, like you said, second in the conference, is not even in. So obviously they don't have a lot of respect for the West Coast this year, and maybe they shouldn't.
All right, let's talk about UCLA because they're tied for third in the Pac-12, and they are in the play-in. The play-in is not where any team wants to be, but it's better than not being in the tournament, right?
Well, yeah, because you have a chance, and, you know, we've seen teams get into the play-in, or it's called the field of whatever. I don't know what the hell they call it. It's in Dayton, for God's sakes. So what you have to do is play. You have to play in Dayton and then fly all night to your regional and then get it cracking again against, as we like to call them, MC Fresh Legs, a bunch of guys that haven't been playing and flying all night. So it's a challenge. We saw VCU do it and get all the way to the Final Four, I believe, a few years back when this whole practice started. So, and UCLA has a great chance with their talent. I mean, they should win the game against St. Bonaventure running away tonight. Obviously, Bonnie's a good team, but UCLA's much more talented. And they should win tonight, and then we'll see what they can do over the weekend.
Who else locally is in? Cal State Fullerton, right?
You got Fullerton. That'll be quick. And you got and that's about it. You know,
that's
the
it.
Other local stories are Lorenzo Romar got hired at Pepperdine to be the head coach, and Reggie the Us, also known as Reggie Theus from the great show Hang Time back in the 90s, Reggie got fired as the Northridge coach, and they hired Mark Gottfried. And Jim Herrick, in his 80s, is going to be the assistant for Gottfried at Northridge.
Okay, well, that's a lot of stuff I didn't need to know. Hey,
Jim Herrick's the last guy to win a championship in this town.
One more thing, P, and that is, did you see that Warren Buffett at Berkshire Hathaway, that's what it is, right, Berkshire Hathaway? He's offering $1 million a year for life for any of his employees, and he's got a lot of them with all the companies that they own, that is able to predict the Sweet 16 bracket. How about that?
Just the Sweet 16?
Yeah.
Oh, Well, that might be worth it. I mean, you know, no one's ever had a perfect bracket ever.
Right. Right.
And we're offering $1 million. Hell, I'll give you 10. You know, I mean, basically, you can offer anybody whatever you want to offer him.
Yeah, well, he's offered $1 billion in the past. Bracket. Yeah, he offered $1 billion a couple of years, remember, for a perfect bracket altogether. But now
I remember that.
Yeah, $1 billion. But now he's just a million a year for life for the Sweet 16 bracket, which I think is pretty incredible if one of his people is able to come up with that.
Well, do you have to be at Berkshire Hathaway?
You have to work for him, yes.
So why do I need to know this? Right back at you.
I just thought it was interesting. Hey, listen, Jeans Jacket Guy, I'm just making conversation here.
See, that's what happens. You see, people go right for the jugular. They say Mr. Denim or something, and they cut you at the knees. They say, buy your jean jacket, and then you walk out with your jean jacket, and they get after you. You see what just happened? That's what happens when you buy a beat jean jacket. That's why I'm stuck in the vestibule at the Levi's store and frozen with fear.
I think you just proven your point. All right, Petros.
You see that? The second it goes south. It's the coast. You see that, Mike?
I did see it.
He didn't say you're a bad analyst. He didn't say you're ugly. No. He didn't say you're fat. I don't even have a jean jacket.
It's an artificial Achilles heel. I see where you're coming from.
All right, Petros.
Damn it.
You're the best, man. We'll be following the excitement this afternoon on your radio show. Thanks for joining us on K-Rock.
You heretic!
Looking ahead toward tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show, by the way, Joel McHale is going to be here. You know, he's revived The Soup over there on Netflix. It's called The Joel McHale Show, so we'll catch up with him. Also, Amy Kaufman, the author of Bachelor Nation, the book all about how The Bachelor Show is put together. It's World Star Wednesday. And speaking of the NCAA tournament, we'll talk to RJ Bell in Las Vegas, see if we can make you some money on that. That's all tomorrow, the Wednesday Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Allie, what's happening on this Tuesday morning?
Well, Paley Fest is what's happening. It's kicking off this Friday and runs through the 25th at the Dolby Theater. And I would like to give fans of Silicon Valley tickets to go see them on Sunday at 7 p.m. up there on the stage at Dolby talking about the show. I'm sure they'll talk a little bit about a cast member that will not be back, TJ Miller. Maybe some inside scoop on that. Mike Judge up there with his shiny bald head just looking all sexy. Just me?
No, yeah. You've always kind of had a thing for Mike Judge, haven't
Mike
you?
Judge is hot.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, if you want a pair of tickets to Paley Fest 2018 Silicon Valley this Sunday night at 7 p.m., be caller 20 right now at 1-800-520-1067, and you will win those tickets. And coming up later in the show, if you're a fan of The Handmaid's Tale, I will have tickets to that panel at Paley Fest as well.
Mike Judge has talked about how hard it is for him to pick up on chicks.
Really?
Because he's super famous and super rich, but all for his animation, really.
Right.
And his show, no one knows what he looks like. So he'll go up to a bar and find a beautiful girl and be like, I made Beavis and Butthead. And they're like, oh, yeah, sure you did. So he has to kind of like get his smartphone out and be like, no, really, I'm very powerful and rich.
He wouldn't need to do that with me.
No, he wouldn't.
Mm-mm. Good times, you guys. It's just a little look into Mike Judge at a bar and my reaction to him. Good stuff. I want to make everyone aware, in case you weren't yet, that Participate in McDonald's, it's back. What am I talking about? The Shamrock Shake.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. It is back from now through March 23rd or until supplies last. That's their way of saying we will probably run out because it's the Shamrock Shake.
Sponsor.
Yeah.
Is that a sponsor? Okay. Yeah. They're great. They're awesome. Yeah.
They're really good.
They're delicious.
Who are you? It's a minty shake.
Yes.
How dare you, Mike Catherwood.
I said they're great.
All right. Really tasty. Yeah. Did you see Kid Rock trending on Twitter yesterday?
I did not.
Why is he in the news?
Well, he will be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame during WrestleMania 34. That's on the weekend of April 6th. And, that big event is happening at the Smoothie King Center in New Orleans. And Kid Rock's induction ceremony will be streamed live on the WWE Network. Now, Triple H tweeted, Kid Rock has lent his signature sound to many WWE events over the years. His support of our superstars, events, and commitment to our troops has been unwavering. For that and more, welcome to the celebrity wing of the WWE Hall of Fame.
All right.
Interesting.
I believe President of the United States also in that Hall
of
Fame.
I believe he is as well, yeah. Yeah, the celebrity wing is a little obviously different. Mm-hmm. But the fact that Motorhead isn't in and Lemmy, who they've done so many of the WWE events, it's shocking.
They should name it the Lemmy Wing.
Agreed. Yeah. Absolutely. So that it was a an interesting choice yesterday for Kid Rock, but what are you going to do? Slash from Guns N' Roses has a stalker. Not good at all. Apparently, he had to take out a restraining order against a guy that showed up at his Super Bowl party claiming he was a friend. He was not, got shown the door. Then 2 weeks later, the same guy tried to get into an invitation-only party saying he was a friend of Slash. And then he sat on his motorcycle on his driveway revving the engine until he was called to leave that area. But yeah, that's terrifying. He knows where you live. He's showing up at parties. That's not good.
Was it Steven Adler?
It's not.
Put me back in the band.
Why would you do that? He's working hard. He's trying to get his life back on track. He's doing a great job. How dare you, Mike Catherwood?
I like Steven personally very much. He was the only guy I could think of that was not in the original, that got kicked out of the original lineup, so I had to go with it. I'm sorry.
I see what you did.
Someone call someone.
I see what you did. Some birthdays for you. We've got actress Annabeth Gish, actor William H. Macy and Emile Hirsch, and rapper Actor Common, and YouTube bassist Adam Clayton. And that's what's happening.
Allie, do you see what I see?
I see my friend with the little hats.
The Fitz dog is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Comedian, actor, podcaster, writer, radio host Greg Fitzsimmons joins us back in studio on the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock. How are you, Greg?
Well, I'm exhausted just hearing the description of all the things I do.
You're very busy.
Yeah,
you're very busy, man. You
should see me with my wife. She's got a few titles to add to that.
You walked in and you immediately leaned in for the big hug with Michael Catherwood.
Yes.
Do you have any fond love line memories of being on his show?
I do. I just remember coming in and there was a boy that called in that was suicidal. Mm. And I remember those guys just talking him down in a way that was like, you didn't get hysterical. It was just very like, you know, we get this all the time. Here's our playbook on how to talk a guy out of suicide.
And you were terrified sitting there, not wanting to have any part of making that go wrong, I bet.
I mean, you guys saw everything.
Yeah, and as you can imagine, it had a real positive effect on my mental health, you know, hearing about abuse and suicide and rape every single night.
Yeah.
Mike, you're in no way qualified to talk people down from suicide.
That's what you think, but ask Greg Fitzsimmons. I mean, it seemed to work out, didn't
it? Yeah, I mean... I was impressed with that. So how did that show end?
I decided to go, and then Drew can't live without me. So
is that what happened, really?
Yeah, pretty much in a nutshell.
So you're going to shut this place down at some point?
Eventually, yeah.
At some point, yeah. Yeah, just the show just evaporated like they all do when Mike leaves. So
right.
Yeah, well, yeah. How you been, Greg?
I've been good. You know, I'm staying busy, working on crashing again this season. We got... Season 3 is being written as we speak.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love that show.
Good to hear.
It's so great. This is the HBO show with our friend Pete Holmes that's kind of an amplified version of his early life. This is Pete from 20 years ago, right? Essentially is what he's playing.
Probably, yeah.
He's going through a lot of the things that he – it's kind of an oversized version of what he really went through. But it was so intense this year, and every episode was better than the one before. The last three were some of the best television I saw all year.
Oh, that's nice to hear. Yeah, the Artie Lang one we got a lot of feedback on because, you know, it was very meta. I mean, here's Artie who is literally, you know, dealing with his heroin addiction in a very public way. You know, he's been arrested, and you know, that's always a concern. And, you know, we talked a lot about whether or not it made sense to put him in. And it was like, let's show people what a heroin addiction is really like. And to be surrounded by people that obviously everybody like I've known Artie for 25 years. And there's nobody that's pulling for him more than me and Pete and Judd. And, you know, him doing this show was painful for him. But I think it was really it was something that I think he felt was sending out a message that people might get help from.
Well, he turns out to be a great actor, first of all. And I wanted to ask you this, and I guess, Mike, I could ask you as well as someone who's also in recovery for many years, and that is, does being so public and talking about the struggle all the time make it easier or harder to stay sober?
In many ways, you kind of set yourself up for a little bit more of a struggle. I mean, there's a reason why Anonymous is attached to the end of recovery programs is because it's important to kind of keep that anonymity. But I have found if you're forced to by for some set of circumstances, maybe what you do for a living, to be public about your recovery, it has always ended up being incredibly therapeutic because there's no shortage of people who can either, if they're in recovery, relate to that and speak about how it's been helpful for them to hear someone you clearly detail what it's like. But also people who aren't in recovery, they just say, like, I find it so relatable to hear someone speak openly about the struggle of just being a human being, you know?
Well, yeah, I wonder about the accountability, too.
Well, the operative word here is recovery, because Artie's not in recovery.
Yeah.
Necessarily. Not in the episode.
No, but yeah. I did think that it was the most honest discussion about being active in addiction without trying to glorify it.
Right.
You know, you could tell Artie was in no way trying to romanticize what he's going through. He was...
Yeah, he was letting down his friends and, yeah, didn't feel good about himself. No, it was very heavy. And, you know, Artie's, he's an amazing guy because you got this blue-collar mentality. Some addicts are just better at it than others. I mean, some people, I had a very shallow bottom. I've been sober for 24 years.
And congratulations.
Thank you. And my bottom was nothing like Artie's or a lot of people's. Like, I had a father that was an alcoholic, and I found that when I felt like him, I said, I don't want to end up like him. And so I just was able to, you know, somehow engage in the program and get help. And for other people, they just can keep sinking lower and lower. And you keep going, like, when are you going to hit it? When are you going to hit it? And then they don't. And you go, like, well, I don't know. Maybe he never will, and he'll just keep going.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing. You hear us talk about it. It sounds like this is a heavy show. And it's one of the funniest shows on TV, too. So I don't want people to get the wrong idea if they haven't checked out Crashing on HBO. But
oh, I thought you meant this one.
No. It is hilarious. And you're writing on that show, right?
Yeah,
in addition
to appearing
on it.
Yeah, and I appeared on it. It's fun. And it's just, you know, right now is the fun part because they call this the blue sky part of pitching, where you just literally sit in a room and we just talk about the most screwed up things that happened to us while we were on the road over the years. Mm-hmm. You know, like I got into a fight on stage. I've had sex with the booker and not done well and not gotten booked back.
Not done well at stage, Greg?
No, I killed on stage.
Okay.
Not that good in the condo later. I got nervous. There's a lot of pressure.
Sure.
You know, I mean, the guy was a...
What?
Dude, can we rewind?
Yeah, you got a gig on the line, of course.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of good road stories, and so we tell those, and then they sort of find their way into episodes.
That's awesome. Speaking of Judd, by the way, who I have massive respect for, and we've got him coming on the Kevin and Bean Show pretty soon to talk about the Gary Shandling documentary that he's buying. I saw him on the Mr. Rogers documentary special the other night. Did you happen to see that, Greg?
No.
It was awesome.
Really?
I mean, Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
I think he's the hero that we're missing in the world today. I think we need Mr. Rogers back. We really do. There's no one has come up to replace what Mr. Rogers used to give to the world.
Well, what about Richard Simmons?
It's a wonderful documentary, though, and it has a lot of really funny people. Sarah Silverman is in it. There's a lot of comedians, a lot of, you know, actors and everything like that talking about how much Mr. Rogers meant to him. But it's currently running on PBS. It's super, super good. Have you seen the Gary Shandling documentary yet?
Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, did you know
Gary at all?
I met Gary once, and it was a big deal for me because he was probably like top three comics. You know, when they ever ask you, like, who are your heroes, mm-hmm. he was one of them. And I walk into the green room at the Hermosa Beach Comedy Magic Club, and there's a bunch of big comics. There's like, I think Leno was there, and Kevin Nealon, and then Gary sitting there. And I walk up and I go, hey, it's a real honor to meet you. He goes, no, we've met before. And in my head, I'm like, there's no way we've met before. Like, I would know that.
Yeah.
And
then he just went back. A red letter day for you.
You're right. And he just went back to his notes. Oh, and he kept looking at his notes. And I slithered out of the room. And then Morgan Murphy walked right out after me. And she goes, I saw that. I heard the whole thing.
In the 3-second interaction you had with him, he slayed you with comedy.
Slayed me.
That's funny.
Yeah. But he was he was an amazing guy because he walked away from stuff. Like when he was his first show, It's the Gary Shanley Show. He did X number of episodes and he said, "We're done. I think the show is done." Mm-hmm. Like there's and then he did Larry Sanders, same thing. Hit a certain point, said, "I don't think we can get more out of this." The network was throwing money at him and he left. And then he got offered the 12:30 spot on NBC. He had Conan's spot.
Wow.
No.
And he entertained it, and he thought about it, and he went, nope, I don't think that's right for me.
Huh.
So it makes me realize maybe my career path of taking anything hasn't been the best way to go. Maybe doing Best Week Ever in Chelsea Lately for year after year didn't put me to the top.
You can make that joke, though, but it was a different time and a place. I mean, he had that luxury of being able to be a little bit more discerning. Nowadays, I don't care how big a star you are, you gotta have a thick portfolio,
hustle, right?
You know?
No, it's a drunken knife fight in the alley these days, show business. It's a scramble. It's
Greg
Chell on a muddy day.
Is here. We have to take a quick break. By the way, I know you're going to come back and hear the rest of this chat with Mr. Fitzsimmons because he's irresistible. How could you turn off the radio now? But in the event that you're not, don't miss Greg on stage at the Hollywood Improv this Saturday night. His annual St. Patrick's Day show is with some great guests. Nick Swardson's going to be there, Joey Coco Diaz, and more. 8 o'clock, Hollywood Improv this Saturday night. See Greg on stage. $20, just HollywoodImprov.com. More with Greg right after this on K-Rock. Greg Fitzsimmons is sitting with us here on the Kevin Amin Show. Always a pleasure when Fitz stops by. Again, you can see him at the Hollywood Improv this Saturday night. A great lineup of comedy for St. Patrick's Day. By the way, how did that tradition begin with you doing comedy on St. Patrick's Day?
Well, I grew up in New York marching every year with the Ancient Order of Hibernians from the Bronx, my grandfather and my aunts and uncles. And it was the big. And then as I became a teenager, I was the kid throwing up next to a mailbox in the middle of the day. And it was always just a big holiday. And then I came out to L.A. and there's nothing. There's no parade. There's no party. And so I said, let's do a St. Patrick's Day show at the Improv. And we've been doing it. I think it's got to be close to 10 years. We've been doing it every year. And I wish I could tell you that I get all the best Irish comedians to come out. But we've got a Cuban this year.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. What's Swartzen? Is he Norwegian?
Minnesota.
Some kind of Minnesotan, Scandinavian.
Yeah. Sure.
And we need a woman. We got to get a woman comedian. If you're a woman comedian,
there are plenty of good ones, Greg, and I know you know a lot of them.
Yeah, but they're busy if they're good.
Oh, because it's Saturday night, yeah. Is St. Patrick's Day a tough crowd because people are more interested in getting drunk than they are in anything else that night?
One year we threw out a table of 14. It was a bunch of women that came in, and it was the girls' bachelorette party.
Oh.
And there's nothing more annoying than a bachelorette party.
No.
And so they're sitting there, and they're all chatting, and they're not even – it's one thing to heckle me because then I can engage you. Mm-hmm. But when they're talking amongst themselves, and so eventually – the daughter's mother is yelling at me, and then eventually – the daughter goes, "Mom, shut the F up." And the crowd falls out of their chairs. And the mother starts crying. And she leaves. And then everybody's talking. And we have to throw out the other 14 people. And it took like 10 minutes.
Unreal.
But I was on stage at the time. And I just kept narrating it like it was an MMA fight.
And actually, it ended up being kind of fun for
you. Yeah, it was fun. I mean, I encourage it. I encourage drinking and heckling at the show. We want
Greg,
chaos.
You are an alum of the Kevin Amin April Foolishness show.
That's
right. You did it a few years ago.
Yeah.
This year's show, by the way, is, I don't know if you heard, but we got Gabriel Iglesias, Jeff Garlin, Brad Williams, Brian Callen, Sarah Tiana, Doug Benson, Adam Devine.
That's
pretty
amazing.
Good night, right?
That's a really great night. A lot of diversity.
Well, that's not what we were looking for. We were just looking for the funniest people we could get.
And we moved it to the Microsoft Theater.
How big is that?
A little bigger than the Shrine.
Good night of comedy.
I'm going to miss the shrine. I felt like that was such a magic feeling being on that stage. Just the history.
So much history.
And the fact that you didn't know until you were pulling up to it that the show was at the shrine.
That's right. Yeah. I just knew I was going to the Kevin and Bean show. And, you know, I punch it in.
Uh-huh.
Wait, did you guys send a car?
Sent a car.
Yes, we sent a car.
I just got into the car not knowing where I was going.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
He pulls up and he's like, is this the shrine?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. And then I got a little bit nervous. But that was fun. What a lineup. That's amazing.
It's a great lineup. It's our 10th annual show. And thanks again to the Kevin and Bean listeners who bought the tickets with the proceeds going to great local charity. We do have the opening act contest going on. We also do that every year, Greg, where we have some up-and-coming comedian who wants to be on the bill. And then they just submit their YouTube video. And we put the top 10 up on the website. And then people vote for who they want to see open the show. And it's been a great way to kind of introduce some new comedians
to an audience. There's this kid named Andy Dick. Have you seen him? He might be good.
We have a mutual Andy Dick story. I was telling Bean and Allie before the break started that Greg and I were, I was hosting and Greg was performing at the premiere of Andy Dick's movie.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Kara Sultanovich is a great comedian. She gets up and she said, I just had a baby. And she starts her set like crickets. Okay. Greg gets up there. He talks about, I haven't had a drink in 20 some odd years, okay? No one says a word. I mean, literally, the crowd is just dead. I get up there, I was like, I've been sober 15 years, and I'm not expecting much, but crickets. Moby gets up there to talk about Andy Dick, and he said, and I just wanted to mention that I've been vegan for more than 29 years. Explosion!
The crowd's
like, oh my God, thank Moby. What a great commitment to life.
That's right. Just shaky little skinny arms slapping together in honor of Moby.
What a weird night that was.
Not only that, then I get the word, Andy's not coming unless we send a car for him.
Right.
This is his movie.
His movie.
And so, like, somebody's trying to get an Uber account. It's like there's always some drama. Get an Uber account, or he's not going to show up. And then I left.
He did, but I think the movie was like 45 minutes in.
Yeah, you're right.
He has the strangest life of anyone, doesn't he?
Andy Dick.
Every day is a mystery for
him. I love that guy, though. I think he's just the sweetest, most generous person. Mm-hmm. I also think he's one of the best sketch actors of our generation.
Yeah,
he really is talented.
When he's sober, he's the most fun guy in the world to be around.
Yeah, he is, for sure.
All right, Greg Fitzsimmons is here. See him at the annual St. Patrick's Day show, Hollywood Improv, this Saturday night. Greg, please stick around because we brought back Stinky Pinky this morning that you may remember from Mike's Loveline days.
Of course.
And for our listeners who don't, Mike, we're going to do a new round of Stinky Pinky. We tried it earlier this morning, and I think we had mixed results. So let's try it again. And with the brain power of Mr. Fitzsimmons here, I think we're going to do real well. Explain how Stinky Pinky works for folks who want to call, Mike.
It is a wordplay game where you give the clues to us, and we know that the answer is two words that rhyme. But you can't use those words in the explanation. So you would say smelly finger. We would guess Stinky Pinky or overweight feline. The answer would be fat cat.
Fat cat.
That is how you play.
Greg, are you good at this?
I was all over fat cat. I mean, what I was going to say it before he did.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear your stinky pinkies. Give us a call right now with the Kevin and Bean Show and Greg Fitzsimmons right after this on K-Rock. It's a wordplay game that's been around for decades, popularized by Michael D. Catherwood and Dr. Drew Pinsky on Loveline, but now it has returned. Ladies and gentlemen, Stinky Pinky, the lines are lined up. Comedian Greg Fitzsimmons is also here to play. Mike, you can sing the theme for us?
Let's do it.
It's time to play Stinky Pinky. It's a word game called Stinky Pinky. Everybody in the world, they love Stinky Pinky. Now, it's time to play Stinky Pinky. It's a word game called Stinky Pinky. Everybody in the world, they love Stinky Pinky.
He's got the dance to go along with it, too, by the way.
That was strong.
Can't help but shimmy.
Why have we not taped that? Why have we not filmed that and put that up? All right, 1-800-520-1067. Allie and I determined earlier this morning that we are both terrible at this game, but Mike is very, very good at it. Greg, let's see how you are. And let's start with Nick on line one, South Pasadena, up first on the Kevin and Bean Show for this round of Stinky Pinky. Hey, Nick, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. What do you have for us, sir?
Hey, guys, I got a couple for you. First one is a very, very smart reproductive organ.
If it's genius penis, you should just hang up right now.
Yes, genius penis.
No, oh, that doesn't rhyme.
rhyme.
It doesn't rhyme. Get off my phone, Nick. Get off my phone.
Go to another country.
He didn't get his second one in.
Mm-hmm. No.
He blew his chance.
Yeah. You blew it.
And that's one of the rules, right, Mike? It has to rhyme.
Yeah, it can't just sound the same. That's a rhyme.
Okay. All right, let's go to Manuel Bellflower up next.
You just
line
said
two.
Blow about penis.
Manuel, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, my friend?
Yeah, hi, you guys. How y'all doing?
Good. You got a stinky pinky?
I got one. I got stained color for a king.
It's got to be brown crown.
Ah, oh, dang it. Yeah,
Bean.
You got it.
Oh, Bean. Nice. All right.
Strong.
Could you crank up this horrible music more so I can't hear anything?
It's true. It's a little loud.
Let's go to Corona Line 3. Let's say hi to Faith. She wants to play stinky pinky. Good morning, Faith.
Hi, everybody. Okay, so what do you call a giant mammal past its prime?
Giant mammal past its prime.
Past its prime.
Guessing old, something old.
Or elder.
Aged.
Or aged. giant mammal.
Do we give up? Faith, what is it?
An irrelevant elephant.
Terrible clues! And it doesn't rhyme!
Why doesn't that rhyme?
Irrelevant elephant.
Yeah, it's a V and a F sound.
Oh,
yeah,
it doesn't
rhyme, by the way.
Yeah, it's
got to
be a perfect rhyme. Perfect
gotta be
rhyme.
A rhyme. All right. Well, we're working out the bugs here, by the way. First day we played in a while. Let's try Eric and Anaheim up next, line four on the Kevin and Bean Show. Eric, hi. What's up?
Hey, guys. All right. My clue is a lethargic flower.
Lazy Daisy.
Nah, that's easy. Okay,
strong.
Good job.
Good one. That's okay.
All right. Good Jeff in Palm Springs up next. Jeff, hi. Stinky Pinky.
R.I.P., Kevin. Good to talk to you guys.
Hey, he'll be back. I just want to remind people because people are asking on social media. It's just vacation. He's not even gone for a couple days. He'll be back on Monday.
Kevin's That's what
fine.
The Clinton said. Okay, so a stinky slut.
Stinky slut.
Sour whore?
That's a rhymes as good as our other callers, I'll tell you that. A stinky slut.
I don't feel confident about this one, B.
No.
What do you think?
I'm a little nervous, too.
Jeff,
right.
What is it?
Stank skank.
All right.
That's legit.
We'll accept it.
That's legit.
You.
Okay.
You got one over on me.
You know,
that
in,
one was
in
on
the
us.
Me Too, in the Me Too time, you don't think too hard on that one.
I couldn't even go there. My brain wouldn't go there.
Right.
You've been trained. Long Beach, let's say hi to Craig, line six. Hey, Craig, welcome to Stinky Pinky. What do you have for us?
Hey, party people. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
My clue is, what is a citrus monster?
Citrus monster
is,
I think I know it, but it's not.
Go, Muggs. What is it?
The lemon demon.
How on...
That doesn't...
No.
That is not a rhyme.
No.
Craig, what on earth made you think that rhymes?
That doesn't...
Is no one screening these?
Rhyme. Yeah.
What happened to our screening process?
I was going
to
say.
Take a good hard look in the mirror because you're a bad man.
Might need some new interns, maybe.
No, you need to get off the phone.
I think you're the problem here.
Craig. Problem.
I was going to say lemon gremlin, but that was bad too.
Closer.
All right. Mm. Let's try one more. Let's make it Josh. Josh San Juan Capistrano. What? Did you
it's
have
the
a,
only
have
one
another?
I know.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Josh.
Hey there. Okay, what do you call a laughing penis?
A laughing penis.
Laughing pee. I'm not confident about this either.
I got it.
What is it?
Silly Willy?
Yeah, that's it.
Beer box! Right. Going up! Boom!
Yeah. Allie, do you want Keith because you want to win one?
Yeah, I would like one.
Come on, let's go to Keith. Garden Grove, final call. Stinky Pinky. Hi, Keith, you're on.
Hey, guys. Hammered Goonie.
That is Drunk Chunk.
Yeah!
Booyashaka!
What if he was like, no?
We'll play again another time. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Should
Thanks
we just call this Rhymes
Pinky.
About Penises?
Pretty much,
it just sounded
like
that. There was a theme, right? Hey, before Greg Fitzsimmons goes and before you go to HollywoodImprov.com to buy your tickets for just $20 to see the great St. Patrick's Day show this Saturday night, Allie's got 60 seconds for you. Greg,
do you know
Keith.
What this is? All right, let's start it over. I'm going to just give you simple questions. First thing that comes to your mind.
It.
All right,
come on, Greg.
Worst job you ever had?
Caddy.
Would you rather hang out with a guy named Tom or a guy named Chuck?
Obviously Chuck.
Have you ever thought about gunning it as someone walks in front of you on a crosswalk?
Almost constantly.
When's the last time?
On the way over here.
Funniest person in the world?
Jake Johansson.
Do you consider soccer a sport?
No.
What does Tom Brady smell like?
Money and Giselle.
Glad you said L at the end. Dog kisses on the mouth, cool or not cool?
Absolutely not.
Better place to kill someone, a hike or a cruise?
Oh, cruise, because you don't have to do it yourself.
Do you stop, drop, or open up shop?
Open up shop. Business is open.
Yeah. What's your karaoke song go to?
A duet with another guy. What's the Sonny and Cher song?
I got you, babe.
Yeah, I got you, babe.
Nice.
Yes. I would pay money to see that. Yeah. Greg, I'll be there Saturday night if you'll be doing that on stage.
Yeah, Good sesh. That was strong.
Good sesh.
Hey, thanks for stopping by, buddy.
All right, thanks for having me.
Good to see you. If you want a 4-pack of Disneyland Resort tickets, we've got them for you. Keep listening throughout the day here on K-Rock for more chances to win, and go to krock.com for another chance as well. Hey, it's 8:52 this Tuesday morning. Allie, what's happening?
Well, rapper Craig Mack has died at the age of 46, which is, wow, so, so young. He apparently died of heart failure at a hospital near his home in Walterboro, South Carolina, perhaps best known for this song. And if you didn't know who's rhyming, I guess I'm going to say Craig Mack with perfect timing. You won't be around next year. My rap's too severe, kicking my flavor in your head. Here comes a brand new flavor in your head. Time for new flavor in your head. I'm not going to lie, that still sounds great to me.
Oh, it's so good. It is so good. And the remix, are you kidding me? Amazing. But Craig Mack was a protege of P. Diddy, who signed him to his Bad Boy Entertainment record label, and he released that summer hit, Flava in Your Ear, in 1994, and it peaked at number 9 on the Billboard Hot 100. But his debut album was released in 94, and it reached number 21 on the Billboard 200 album chart. But it was eventually eclipsed by another rapper on the same label.
Biggie Smalls is the illest.
It would indeed be Biggie Smalls. The Notorious B.I.G., whose debut album, Ready to Die, was also released in September of 94 and was eventually certified 4 times platinum. But so sad. Age of 46, died of heart failure.
That's got to be something genetic. You know, like that's just, even if you're just feeding yourself nothing but whiskey and fried foods, 46.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, man, that is so sad.
Yeah. Heart disease is, isn't it the number one killer of women? And most people don't know that because there's such a campaign about breast cancer and wear pink, where, you know, there's just not as much information, shockingly, out there about heart disease. And signs of a heart attack. And signs of a heart attack are different for women versus men. And it's just, it's very, very sad.
So I don't like it.
You should Google that, kids.
I'm going out at 36. I know it. It's not going to be good.
Muggs.
Wow, this just got real dark.
It sure did.
You're a father, sir.
But Muggs, no. Your father is pretty old. He is.
He's 81. He'll be 81 in April. But,
well, that's the best indicator of your lifespan.
Right. Yes.
Well, not. Well, I mean, he had major heart surgery when I was born. At 40 years old, he had it. He had angioplasty, is, I guess, your arteries.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been to a doctor in like 3 years. So.
Well, at least you're keeping up on your diet. You're making good choices that way. You're doing all the right things so that doesn't happen.
Not really.
Muggs, if you think you're going to die young, why have you not been to a doctor in 3 years?
Just haven't had the time. I know that sounds lame.
Has he been swimming? I mean, Muggs, come on.
Hasn't had the time in 3 years to go to the doctor, you guys.
I need to go get that checked, and also something that I'm just dreading that we've talked to Dr. Drew about was getting my prostate checked.
But yes. That's
you're still young for that.
Yeah, he's still way too young for that.
But there is a history of prostate cancer.
My dad had prostate cancer.
I'll check it right now.
You're not even 40, though. You don't even have to worry about that yet.
Speaking of stinky pinky.
Hey-o!
But Muggs, honestly.
Yeah.
If we make an appointment with you to get a full workup, will you go?
Absolutely.
I'm saying, knowing from when we did Lightning's vasectomy in studio, that we could probably do it on the air. And it would be for the good of the listeners.
I've got
so many men listening right now that are in the same boat as Muggs that are like, I know I should, but...
Is it a fear thing? You're afraid of what they'll find? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's partially that because, I mean, not only do I need, like, my internals checked, I mean, my lungs, the amount of things I've smoked these last 10 years, I don't even want to know what my
lungs are. Mostly pole.
We're trying to help, Mike. Yeah.
I was gonna say, also, it's not a fear as much as I think it is. Guys do this boneheaded thing of if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
So if there's no visible wounds,
yeah,
and if I could breathe and walk, I'm good.
Okay, that's insane.
I know.
Then you drop dead, and people are like, "Oh, didn't see it coming."
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you probably did see it coming. Like Muggs is saying, "I haven't been in 3 years. I need to." Muggs, you're a dad now. That should make everything different for you.
I've thought about it.
When I had my first kid, that's when I was like, "Listen, I got."
That wasn't you, Allie. You're thinking of somebody else.
Oh.
You're the one with no love.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I'm barren. My ovaries are dusty. That's correct. Sometimes I get confused. Someone who's not barren, because she just had a child, Serena Williams, has filed documents to trademark the name Anaris for a line of beauty products, including skincare, cologne, perfume, makeup kits, and more. You may be saying, Anaris, what does that mean?
What does it mean?
Well, it's Serena backwards.
Oh.
Okay.
Beans over it.
Okay.
No.
Well, this is like these people who name their kid Nevaeh or Nevaeh because it's heaven backwards. I got no bandwidth for that. I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought it was like the lotion. Like they just like the lotion Nevaeh.
Name should be forward, you guys.
Okay.
What if your name was Asshor?
Great question.
That is a great question. We'll tackle that and other tough issues coming up in a very special Blossom. Birthdays for you. Actor William H. Macy, Annabeth Gish, Emil Hirsch, rapper, actor, Common, and YouTube bassist Adam Clayton. And that's what's happening.
Don't forget, 24 hours a day, you can call the Kevin and Bean voicemail at 323-520-AFRO and leave us a message on any topic. We'll check into the voicemail box in about 15 minutes or so here in K-Rock. First, though, California lawmaker nicknamed Huggy Bear told to stop hugging people. This is State Senator Bob Hertzberg, who was also nicknamed Hugsberg.
Oh, jeez.
Because he greets men and women alike with giant hugs. He has recently been reprimanded by a committee, and he has been told to stop hugging people after an investigation concluded his embraces made multiple colleagues uncomfortable. Now, when I first saw the headline for this story, I thought, well, there's another creepoid, right? That's just another guy who's just taking advantage of, you know, the opportunity to hug, and he's getting off on it. However, the investigation released Thursday found that Senator Hertzberg's frequent hugs were not at all intended to be sexual. He's just a hugger. He's just one of those people who that's his default greeting. Somebody comes into his office, he gets up, he gives him a big hug. Now, we used to look very differently at people like Huggy Bear than we do now, right?
Yeah.
People are now starting to say, hey, stop with the touching. And I guess, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of this hashtag Me Too and a lot of this hashtag Time's Up that is kind of causing us in a good way to reexamine a lot of things that have been going on. But from what I've read about the story, Allie, are we like kicking a nice guy in the teeth here because he was just a huggy person? Or is this something that needs to be dialed back and is inappropriate in any circumstances? You shouldn't hug strangers.
Here's the thing. Yeah. I'm a hugger. I hug people I know and people I like it's my job sometimes. However, when I was on the news, I tended to be the one that people felt that they knew right away, as opposed to an anchor person that's, you know, up there being very serious, reading the news. I was kind of the more relatable one. So I could be with three friends on the news. People made a beeline for me to hug me. And it freaked,
because they felt like they knew you.
It freaked me the hell out.
Really?
No. If I don't know you, I don't want to be hugged by you. But after I chat with you for a minute, and then I'm like, oh, I'm a hugger. Hug. Great. But to go for the hug and not know someone, it's not okay.
Would you be surprised if you found out that people that you hug because you feel like it's appropriate based on the relationship that you have with one another, mm-hmm, if that person is uncomfortable with it?
It wouldn't surprise me because I would get that, but I try and gauge people. Sometimes you're way off. Like when I try and hug you, Bean, I know you don't like it.
Right.
That's why I do it.
I don't like being touched in general, though.
Yeah.
I mean, when people talk about like massages and things like that, mm-hmm, or making sex, I mean, I don't like any of those.
like any of those things.
Speaking my language, dude.
All right, so so that's Huggy Bear in Sacramento. And yeah. then, to expand on this conversation, I won't name him because he's not aware of this conversation, but we had a frequent and lovely guest on the Kevin and Bean Show within the past couple of weeks or so who was a hugger and came in and said, and this was a little bit startling to hear him say out loud, as he walked into the room where he would ordinarily have gone up to everybody and hugged him, he's like, I don't hug anymore. That's just my new policy. I don't do it anymore. It's just, it's too treacherous at this point because you don't know how it's being received. And I don't ever want anybody to be able to question my motives for the hugging.
Yeah.
Which was a little bit sad because this is a guy we know well and we would have had no problems with him hugging everybody but me, right?
You were sad. It was me that went in for the hug.
I don't know. I mean, really put thought into it. It's an awfully intimate exchange to
yeah.
press your body and then wrap your hands around someone else.
Yeah.
I do think, like, I don't want to poo-poo the idea of people being caring and nice and open, which is something that I think the world needs. But at the same time, just to hug, to feel like you can hug someone just because you know them is a strange notion.
Mm-hmm.
Then how did we get to this point, Mike, where years ago, especially men, you never saw hug each other, and now it seems like it's the standard bro greeting, whereas
yeah.
it used to be a handshake. Now it seems like almost every, you see two guys who are getting together as friends for lunch, and it seems like they're hugging it out. Where did that come from? Why is that a thing now?
I don't know. Maybe hip hop. Like, it's just a more expressive world.
Interesting.
You know? I mean, because, like, you would never think, like, 70s rockers, like, they're not going to hug.
Yeah.
No. But, like, you know, two rappers see each other, like, what's up, man? In the front row at the Laker game, they're hugging. Mm.
Right.
You know, it's like the bro hug. I don't know. It's speculation. I'm just throwing it out there.
It's weird that hugs are so popular right now, so much more popular than ever before, but now they're kind of hitting a wall as we get into this new era where now some people are saying, let's stop it. We've gone too far with the hugging. Assistant producer Christine?
Yes.
You had a big night on Saturday night. I'm glad you were able to go for Lightning's going away party down at the Slide Bar. Tremendous turnout from the listeners,
right?
It
was awesome. So, so great. Really, really awesome for everyone who came out in the rain.
Everybody had a great time, yeah. Was there too much hugging going on, in your opinion?
Okay, I feel like such a jerk right now because I'm not saying that I don't appreciate when listeners who are so awesome, love the show, come down and want to meet, you know, everybody and say hi. It's just hard, though, because, as Allie was saying, they're complete strangers to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they're part of our show, but if I've never met you, it's mm-hmm. really weird, especially for guys. The first thing they do is they always grab you, either your arm or the side, like your waist, mm-hmm. and then they pull you in for a hug. Maybe within 5 seconds of meeting you. And in any other circumstance, if I was walking down the street and a man grabbed me, it's startling, you know, and it feels really invasive.
Do you think it's also a little bit skewed for you because you're so small? I mean, you're a very little person. Everything probably seems a little bit more threatening.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. I think if you see, like, a guy walking down the street to you, I'm always scared.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. that is a really good point, too. And the thing is, even though I think it's a fake out because I'm very friendly, mm-hmm. but I am a desperately shy person.
Yeah.
I'm super uncomfortable and a totally awkward, dorky person. And so sometimes in those situations where people are very forward mm-hmm. and very, like, physical with you, I almost don't know how to respond because it makes me so awkward.
Do you think – are you doubting the motivations of the listeners who reached in for a hug? Do you
no,
think that
it's
was a,
so
they were trying
sweet.
To cop a feel or something?
No,
you think they were really just being friendly and excited
friendly
to meet you?
Friendly and sweet and nice. But, again, I have a job behind the scenes. I'm a very private, like I said, very shy person. And so for the first interaction to be a physical, touchy, grabby, like Mike said, you press your body up against someone has their arms wrapped around you, it's just a little, like, startling. Like,
so
and
you
I think,
knee them in the groin, right? That's,
no.
your, smart, that's your default.
No, and of course I hug back because I would feel so bad if I didn't. But I think sometimes even my reaction is I withdraw. I mean, I
tense up a little.
Totally.
Tense up,
yeah. And that is a subconscious thing. I can't help it, you know? But again, I feel like such a jerk because people are so nice and all they want to do is say hi to you. And that's awesome. I'm just so awkward and I don't know how to deal with that.
What if instead of a hug, you give them like a coupon for a blowy?
Wow. I mean, if those are the two options, then, you know, I'll take
the
hug.
Vince, we weren't planning on taking calls, but Altadena's Vince wants to weigh in with a thought on this. Vince, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What say you on hugging?
Good morning, guys. Hey, I was just thinking as I was listening, and it seems to me, and maybe this is too generalizing, but so I'm Hispanic, and my family's always hugged. Okay, that's how we greet. If I don't know you, then I'm probably not going to hug you. But what I notice is that, you know, Caucasians don't seem to hug too much. Now, like I said, might be an overgeneralization. But
I think what we're talking about is it seems like everybody hugs now. It seems like it's gone beyond just the Hispanics and beyond just the family.
Sure.
It's like strangers meet now and they hug. And that's what we're noticing.
And traditionally, there's no doubt. You're right, Vince. I mean, I think there are cultures that are definitely more outwardly or more outward with their affection.
Sure.
But Bean's right. I mean, it's become this thing that is just far more accepted overall.
Right.
Thank you for the call, though. We appreciate it very much, Vince. And Allie, what you were saying earlier, and I think maybe this is the rule, this is the takeaway, is it's almost like it's a permission thing now. It's like you got to get on the same page, right? You got to make sure that you're a hugger and that the other person is a hugger. Maybe that's what we're at.
Know your audience.
Know your audience.
Yeah.
Although the coupon for the blowy, not a terrible idea. 9:36, this is the Kevin and Bean Show. Allie is here with a very special What's Happening.
How would you like tickets to go see The Handmaid's Tale this Sunday at 2 p.m. up there on the stage at the Dolby Theater? I am talking about
Science
Paley Fest. It is Dolby. I got it.
Thanks.
Okay. It is happening this Friday through the 25th at the Dolby Theater. And if you don't know about this, it's so fun. You get to see the cast of your favorite show up there, usually with writers, showrunners, producers, giving you a behind-the-scenes look of what happens. You line up. You get to ask questions. It's a really, really cool situation. So if you would like tickets to go and see The Handmaid's Tale, that is this Sunday at 2 p.m., give a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. And if you're caller 20, you will be getting a pair of tickets to Paley Fest 2018 to see The Handmaid's Tale.
Allie, you use that Hulu subscription I got you for Christmas yet? Have you yet to log in one time?
I have logged in many times.
Oh.
And it's great.
Did you watch Handmaid's Tale?
I did not. But I've heard it's wonderful.
Only Hulu's biggest show ever.
It is. It is the biggest show.
It's
super popular. And from everyone that I know that watched it, amazing.
Uh-huh.
Just, I'm so busy.
I believe
so
the Emmy winner for best television
drama. I believe it was,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I will get around to it.
And Elizabeth Moss, who's amazing in everything.
Love her.
She's so great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll get right on that.
Just checking in on your gift, that's all.
Okay. Yeah, it's true. By the way, more giveaways for the rest of the week. We're talking Supernatural, The Big Bang Theory with Young Sheldon, The Good Doctor, Mom, Queen Sugar, and Riverdale. So if you're a fan of any or all of those shows, you're going to want to stay tuned because I'll be giving those tickets away.
Paley Fest has it going on again this year.
They always do. Always. Yeah. Such good shows. And it was, what was it, Stranger Things, then they have Will and Grace, yesterday was Orville. I mean, great, great giveaways.
Golden Pussy Finger.
Right, Golden Pussy Finger. Remember, they did that one, too.
Not a real movie or show.
I heard the lady on the radio say it, okay.
I did combine three Bond movie people. Are they even movies? Are they people?
Well, Goldfinger was a movie.
Okay.
And Pussy Galore was a character.
All right.
Mm-hmm. So, you got that.
So, yeah, good times, everybody. Chris Hardwick, congratulations. They have picked up the wall on NBC for a third season of 20 episodes. If you haven't watched it, it's a contestant
competing for a grand prize of more than $12 million.
We need to build a wall.
Very different wall. It's like a big old Plinko machine, but you get so invested in these people's stories, and you just want them to succeed, and it's a really good show.
Who's going to pay for the wall?
Well, no one.
Yeah, Mexico.
Who's going to pay for the wall?
Well, NBC is, because they picked it up for a third season, averaging 6 million viewers per show this season. So not bad. It's just a feel-good show. And that's, I think, it's a nice thing to have.
We have to start by building a wall, a big, beautiful, powerful wall.
I'm always happy to hear good things happen to Chris Hardwick, too. He's a good dude and really good at his job.
Absolutely. And the debut of ABC's American Idol on Sunday pulled in 10.3 million viewers. Although the premiere was down 23% from Fox's last season premiere and finale, it was the top show of the evening for ABC. So time will tell if they continue on that trend or not, because I was convinced nobody cared about it coming back. But
did you guys know Ryan Seacrest tried to high-five a blind guy?
It is true. It is true. But then again, on Sunday, what's left right now? Because Sunday, I would watch Divorce and Crashing on HBO.
They're
and then,
over,
of
right?
course, I watch my John Oliver, which is still on. But those two are done for the year. I don't even know what's on regular programming
Ballers
Sunday.
Ballers still?
Ballers hasn't been back
the
for a while.
The 25th of March is like a big comeback night.
Yeah, Billions is coming back. I know
Billions
that.
Back. Okay. Silicon Valley's back.
Yes.
And it's other stuff.
Well done, Mike. Well, Apple's TV streaming service has picked up two seasons of its very first animated series, the musical Central Park, from the folks who gave us Bob's Burgers. The show will reportedly be about a family of caretakers who live and work in Central Park and end up saving the park and basically the world.
Ooh.
Yeah. Listen to this voice cast. Josh Gad, Leslie Odom Jr., Titus Burgess, Kristen Bell, Stanley Tucci, David Diggs, and Catherine Hahn. That's quite the
assembled. Except for Josh Gad, that's a great group of people.
Josh Gad is one of the greatest humans on the face of the earth, and it hurts me every time you blaspheme him.
He's the worst. He should be put down.
He's the best.
Wow.
Here's the
I don't
thing.
Just mean taken out of show business. I mean put down.
You're the worst. Here's the thing with Josh Gad. This is cartoon hate. He has no idea where it comes from. We've had Josh on twice. So funny, so charming, and after each interview, Bean went, wow, he was really great. That was wonderful. Then the next day, he's back to having this strange cartoon hate for him.
Well, of course he's going to pretend to be a nice guy when he's on the radio, just like the devil figures out a way to ingratiate himself to you so that you fall for him and you believe in him.
He is so incredibly nice and so incredibly talented.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand where this comes from.
Well, define nice and define talented and get back to me. I'm just saying you got yourself a great show there, then you spoil it by putting Josh Gad the turd in the punch bowl. That's all.
I'm with those people. Every
where the angry mob came from all of a sudden.
Of those people. And if you would like to own that jet ski that was the grand prize the other night on the Oscars for the man that delivered the shortest acceptance speech, it went to a man named Mark Bridges. But if you want that jet ski, all you have to do is go to omaze.com. It's going to go in a raffle. Depending on how much you donate, between $10,000 to $5,000, you're going to get raffle entries for the jet ski, which will be randomly selected by Omaze. But the money raised will benefit the Motion Picture and Television Fund, which provides support and services for current and retired members that work in the entertainment industry. Deadline to enter, April 26th, and you must be 13 years of age or older.
So I got to be to drive a jet ski is 13?
It appears that way. If that's what it, yeah.
That does seem dangerous, doesn't
it? I beef that up a little.
Yeah. A little bit. But I mean, if you're 13 and you can go to war, Mike, why not?
That's true.
Yeah. I read that somewhere.
I can't tell you how many guys I served with at NAMM that were
like
13.
13?
13 and a half, yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Remember, by the way, that the lottery tonight, big deal. Want to know how much?
I thought that was a Wednesday thing, no? It's a Tuesday thing now?
I believe that Powerball is on Wednesday. This is Mega Millions.
Okay. All right,
tonight's
give me some numbers.
Tonight's drawing. is valued at $318 million. That is a $187 million cash value, you guys.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Now, can you remain anonymous in California?
No, I don't know.
Because I totally would not tell anybody I won.
I don't believe you, Muggs. I think you
You'd tell us on the air. You would come back the next day and announce it on the air.
You would never stop talking about how rich you were if you won that lottery. Are you kidding me? You're the least likely person in the world to keep that under your hat.
One would think so, but I just wouldn't want that attention from everybody.
You'd be driving a tank that shot sharks that was gold.
You would.
As Marvel won the lottery, everyone!
All right, Muggs. Do you keep the Kevin and Bean job if you win the lottery? I guess no.
I don't know. I mean, this is a fun job. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people who have that amount of money who don't do anything, they get bored. So
yeah, but nobody with a $200 million wants to get up at 4:30 in the morning either.
That is true.
You would enjoy sleeping in and doing something else, right? I'm not saying you wouldn't do anything, but I don't think you'd do this.
You should buy, if you did win, you should buy K-Rock. You'd have money left over and then just move the show to like noon.
And just say, yeah. Oh, please win, Muggs. Oh, that would be awesome.
Done.
What if Muggs was your boss?
Oh.
Oh, my God.
That's such a dense question.
I like it. I like it a lot. Some birthdays for you. Rapper, actor, Common. Actors William H. Macy, Annabeth Gish, and Emil Hirsch. And YouTube bassist Adam Clayton. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. A 5 p.m. commercial-free hour. You got it. Thanks to a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow is Wednesday. That means World Star Wednesday. Thanks to Mike. We got some great guests on the program tomorrow, too. Actually, I'm very excited about the return of our old friend Joel McHale, who's one of the funniest, most talented guys I know. He took a show. He doesn't call it The Soup. We'll find out why, but it's the Joel McHale Show featuring Joel McHale on Netflix, and it's very funny, and it is The Soup. But we'll talk to Joel all about that and everything else going on in his world tomorrow. RJ Bell will be on from pregame.com from Las Vegas talking about how we can make some money on the NCAA tournament. Those of us who don't win the lottery like Muggs, we still got to try to win it by gambling.
That's right.
Amy Kaufman is going to be here, too. She has written a book called Bachelor Nation, Inside the World of America's Favorite Guilty Pleasure. I think there are some real surprises in this book about the way that show is put together. Now, if you're somebody who doesn't like to see how the sausage is made, this may not be for you. If you just want to enjoy The Bachelor and believe in The Bachelor, this is going to be a tough listen for you. But for the rest of us who want to hear it picked apart, I think we're going to enjoy that. That's Amy tomorrow. More Ducks Red Wings tickets for you for Friday night at Honda Fest. Allie mentioned she's got more Paley Fest tickets tomorrow. April Foolishness opening act details. And Disneyland tickets as well throughout the day on K-Rock. All of that tomorrow right here on the world famous K-Rock.